Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight.
Welcome to the place.
All right, we're here to welcome everybody tonight and pray for you and bless you and be a blessing to you somehow or another, some way. So, if you need that tonight, we want to minister to you tonight and share with you what God is sharing with us, and maybe we can believe God with you for whatever you need. Hallelujah. All right. So thank you, Jesus. All right. If you want to call into the show tonight, you can do that. Go to 319-527-6027. And jump in there and get ready for prayer. Whatever you need tonight, you just need to talk, share, see what's up with your life tonight. We can do that, and share a little testimony. Whatever is going on with you tonight, we're going to believe God for a breakthrough in your life for sure. And so praise God. Get ready for that. All right. We are glad you're here tonight. We're going to be praying for everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Monday night, and God is very, very good. And we're believing Him for miraculous intervention into our life. Yeah. All right. Very, very cool. Israel's going through their thing right now. So pray for Israel. We pray and bless for the peace of Jerusalem, right? And, mature and get your prayers up to God and share with the Lord your love for Israel. And it's like telling somebody's mama or daddy that you love their baby. When you love their baby, they're going to love you. Right? It's kind of what that's like. Yeah. We're his babies too, right? And Israel should say, we love you, body of Christ. Yeah, we love you, Gentiles. And very cool. All right. If you want prayer tonight, again, make sure and click 1 on when you call into the show. It'll say, Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As soon as it says, Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click 1 on your phone, and you'll be able to get in. And what it does, it kind of raises your hand up, so we'll know that you just don't want to sit there and listen, that you would like to either share testimony, you want prayer, you want ministry. You want some kind of, you want to talk. So we want to talk to you. If you want to talk, we want to talk to you. So that's why we have that in there, so you can get in there on the line, and we can visit with you a little bit, share with you whatever the Lord gives us to share, and you can share whatever you want to share. All right? Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. I guess it's not going to go away. It's going to stay there. All right. So, there you go. Give me just a moment here. We are working on it. All right, tonight I'm going to share something with you that God gave me today. Something that I see that the Lord is doing and saying to us. Pretty interesting. I think you may find it interesting. I hope you do. I did. Because when it speaks to me as a prophet, about profit things, right? So when I share with you, it's usually about profit things, things concerning what he's going to prophesy about, what he's going to say, how he's going to say it, why he's going to say it. You know, like some people think prophets tell what God wants, but they don't. But if they did that, a lot of the words wouldn't come to pass at all. Because God, believe it or not, God doesn't always get what he wants. And, you know, he gets his eternal way, for sure. But people can choose to do whatever they want to do, right? Yeah, people can choose to do whatever they want. And so, you know, so that's just the way it is. And, yeah, and some things are sovereign and work in a whole different way. But we talk about that off and on. So if you want to learn about the prophetic, we're here to teach you about it from a personal perspective, not from some distant pastoral or teacher or whatever realm. We're here to teach you as prophets. And we'll teach you what the prophets, the way the prophets think, what's going on with the prophets, how prophets prophesy. Because most people don't even know. They think they know, but they don't really know. They got some good talk going on about it. They really don't. Half time they don't know what to talk about. They're just talking about what somebody taught them and, you know, so whatever. That's really the way it is. So, right? Yeah. And we're going to straighten that out for sure as God gives us the grace to do it. All right. I want to get you into the scripture tonight, in a particular scripture here that God is showing me. All right. We're going to go to John 16. I want to share a prophetic thing God gave me tonight in one of the ways that God's going to speak. All right, John 16. All right, so if you're wondering what's going on right now, I'm about to share some things with you as far as how God's going to present himself, how the Lord is going to begin to speak, and what manner he's going to speak, and with the attitude, I should say, and with the openness that the Lord's going to speak about. And some people think that Jesus spoke, he was very plain spoken all the time, where everybody understood exactly what he was talking about. And he didn't. And he didn't. I'm going to share that with you tonight a little bit to kind of help you understand what that meant. You know, sometimes, just like parents, just like the mother we talked about women sharing, mothers sharing with their daughters about what it's like to have a baby, and just all they focus on is all the agony and the pain and the suffering in a child, and the little girl goes, well, I'm going to think I'm going to skip out of that one because they're too young to know it, right? They're too young to hear that. You just tell them, you know, you're going to have babies someday, you're going to get married, have babies, and it's going to be sweet, you have a family, and that's kind of what you tell them, right? You don't tell them everything. Right, because if you did, it would blow them away. It would be too much for them. They wouldn't know what to do with it. And so Jesus does the same way with the church. He doesn't tell you things, especially the way the church has been taught. Most of the church is not ready for what God is going to do, and yet he's told us many times in the Word what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but we've really not heard it very well. Mainly because of false doctrine. And some people have been a little shocked at me. It's like, you're really sharing things in a way that you haven't shared before. It's getting deep, or it's getting heavy, or it's getting something. And so I'm going to share why and how the Lord is showing me things that you know, like I can't share everything I get because people are just not ready for it. And I'm not talking about just negative stuff. I'm talking about good stuff. I'm talking about all kinds of things. Paul said I would feed you with meat, but you know, I came to you and you weren't ready for meat. You're still in the milks. You're still in the milk season. Let me look that up real quick. I didn't think about that scripture until now. Let me go there. Okay, Paul. Need milk. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:2. is one of the scriptures we're going to look at, which we're going to read through. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And, so we can see this with the body of Christ. Most people are not ready for the meat. They think meat is like some great revelation about Jesus, but the revelation of Jesus is full of the revelation of Jesus, just like it is in the book of Revelation. And most people don't think the revelation of Jesus has anything to do with what Satan's going to do, how God's going to deal with the church, how he's going to remove the candlestick from some, and, why and all that. But that's the revelation of Jesus. So it's Jesus speaking. It's not some prophet being mean, right, like some people seem to think. Like the Jezebel spirit is really, we're going to talk about this more some night, but maybe not tonight. I don't know. Maybe tonight. How the Jezebel spirit is because it's the female spirit, even though males have it, of course, just like females do, but because anybody can fall prey to a Jezebel spirit. But the Jezebel spirit is more concerned about feelings and emotions than it is about the truth. Feelings and emotions are very important. We need to be concerned about feelings and emotions with our family, with our children. But if you tell your child that, no, you can't kill your sister, you don't want to tell him that because it might hurt his feelings, you know, then it's kind of like, oh, you know, how far have we gotten off here? You know, how far have we gotten off here? And so many people are not ready for meat. Meat meaning you can't really tell them what they're really going to go through, what's really going to happen, because they've been taught all their life. They haven't really been taught much of anything as far as for the end times go. They're not ready for meat to this day. Yeah, and so some people are never going to be ready for meat, and therefore they'll never enter into the meat realm, if you will. They're going to be milk people all their life. They're going to drink milk. They're going to wait for God to, you know, like a little baby expects their daddy to save them from every circumstance. When your children start getting older, you learn to let them pay the price for what they, so they can learn. They need to learn through, sometimes, like I tell people, sometimes they get their kids out of prison, out of jail. Every time they get put in jail, they usually end up in prison. Why? Because they didn't learn a lesson. You know, sometimes we need to learn when to let a child learn a lesson. Not every time, you know. Sometimes we need to rescue them. We need to let them know we rescue them. But when they start using the rescue mode from mom or dad as a way to just keep getting by with things, then when you realize they're just getting by with things, and you know your child, most of the time we know our children. We know they're just trying to get by with it. They're using this, but they're using it. So what do you start doing? You start figuring out, hey, if I don't fix this thing, this is going to be a mess. They're going to use me now as an authority, but then later on they're going to use the police, they're going to use lawyers, they're going to use, you know, leadership. They're going to use leadership and just think they can get by with things, and therefore one of these days they're going to end up in prison, right, or in devastating situations to where somebody's going to take them out because they're, you know, doing stupid stuff. Oh, so it's our responsibility to make sure that we just don't keep giving them milk all their life. You know, we feed them milk, but a lot of people I see are not even getting milk. I don't know what they're getting, but they're not getting milk. It's milk that's not real milk. It's not milk from the Lord, I'll tell you that. And so you start telling people these days what we're going to start going through, and they're freaking out. I mean, who wants to suffer? Who wants to go through a hard time? Well, nobody does. But you start telling people, you start giving people the meat of the book of Revelation, it freaks them out. They've been Christians all their life, and they're freaking out over it. Okay? Well, you know, I think we're all going to freak out maybe a little bit, but it's time that we get, to help people realize, you know, this milk stuff, are you even getting real milk? Because if you're getting real milk, you're going to be eventually ready for solid food. But the milk some people are getting and the way they're getting, you know, fed the milk is messing them up, to say the least. So there's my point on that. Anyway, so I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready, yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. 1 Corinthians 3:2. And there's also one here in Hebrews. In Hebrews 5:12 says, although, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths, not just teach you anything, but teach you the elemental truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. This is Paul. This is whoever wrote Hebrews is saying the same thing Paul said in Hebrews and 1 Corinthians. He's saying it now in Hebrews 5, verse 12. That's chapter 5, verse 12 in Hebrews. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elemental truths of God's word all over again. Elemental truths are, what are elementary truths? Elementary truths are how God's going to protect you and keep you, and that wrath is not, you're not appointed to wrath, but appointed to wrath according to the Bible. The Bible truths are that you're going to see it. You're going to see the destruction of the wicked right in front of you. We're going to see the destruction of the wicked right in front of us, man. We're not going to be off in the clouds or in heaven when it happens. We're going to be right here, Psalms 91, the favorite scripture of a lot of people who claim it's their favorite scripture. I think it is to a lot of people. That it says right there, you're going to see the reward of the wicked with your own eyes. What's the reward of the wicked going to be? Well, in the end times, once people take the DNA, the DNA transformation that the 666 is going to give them to change their DNA, and once they get that, they're doomed forever. You know, they're going to truly be called wicked because they've chosen against all the warnings that God has given. They've chosen that against everything God's told them. You know, the vaccine, friend, is not 666. It's a process to it, but it is not it. It's not. There's no chip being put in you. They're not faking and acting like they're giving you. That's not going on. They're going to tell you. People that are going to get that are going to just be dying to get it. I can't wait to get it. Oh, it's going to be a privilege to get it. That's the way they're going to put it, friends. So quit listening to all this nonsense about they're going to slip it in on you. They're not going to slip it. They can't slip it in on you. Even if they slipped it in on you, then God wouldn't hold you accountable. So they got all these conspiracy theories with all this nonsense that's just absolutely turned the body of Christ into a bunch of scrambled egg goofballs. I mean, literally, some of the stuff I hear is just, you know, mind-boggling. So because of that, much less all the other things that people, that the Bible teaches have been teaching, teaching people error and getting people off into this thing where the very thing that God's called them and appointed them as a crowning point in their whole life and the whole history of the world, they're going to miss out on it. They fear it, I should say. And because they've been told, you know, truths that have not really been real milk even. So now, because of that, they're not getting ready for meat. They're still needing more milk. Instead of being teachers and being used by God, they're still out there, you know, fumbling around trying to figure out when the rapture is going to be and who the Antichrist is going to be, which if you're going to be raptured, what difference does it make? You know, but that's not going to happen. So God's going to expose it. He's going to use us Christians, Jesus people here in the earth to expose him. It's going to be amazing. All right, so here's what I want to tell you tonight, prepare you for, you know, some things that, you know, some of it you're not going to be ready for, but you're going to probably get it anyway. You know, that's the thing, that's where we're at. So that's what I'm prophesying to you tonight is really good news. But it's just telling you what stage we are at. Jesus did not always tell his disciples all the things that were going to happen to them, all the things that they were going to be in for, because they had to grow up first. They had to take real milk from the master, and the master had to make their foundation strong so that when he told them the meat, they were ready for it. The meat is just not God using you in the power of miracles. That's part of the meat, but that's just a little part of the meat. That's an awesome part of the meat, actually. I think that's the heart of the meat, maybe. But friend, you know, Jesus didn't tell them everything at first because of what I've been sharing with you. He had to build them up first. He had to give them foundation. That's why I haven't been as blunt yet as we have started to become, and people are noticing it because of what I'm about to share with you. On November the 7th, 2021, this kicked in with me, what I'm about to share with you, that Jesus said, and they said about Jesus. All right? This is what kicked in on November the 7th, 2021, when Joseph Biden was declared the winner of the election by the three major networks, or two, whatever they were, Fox, CNN, and whoever else. Okay, so here's the prophetic part of this, as far as explaining to you where we are at and what's going on. Okay? Let's go here. All right, turn to John 16. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16, verse 4. And Jesus said, "But I have said these things to you that when the hour cometh, you may remember that I have told them to you." He's getting ready to download some heavy stuff. "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to go to him who sent me," going to the Father, "and none of you asked me, where are you going?" Because they don't really believe he's going to leave. That's why they're not asking. "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart," like some of you and me. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Verse 29 is the part that I want to get to. Verse 29. Here's the part I want to prophesy to you tonight. And the disciples, after Jesus downloaded all this information that they were going to, you know, be given their lives, and some of them and all that, and tell them what they were going to go through. And the disciples said in verse 29, go to verse 29, 16, 29. And his disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you have come from God." So what is Jesus saying here? What are the disciples recognizing? They're recognizing that his language is changing. Did it change because all of a sudden he woke up to something new? No, he always knew. And you read John 16, you find out what he said. We may read some of it here in a minute. But the disciples go, "Wow, now you're speaking plainly. You've been using figurative speech for so long, parables and all kinds of things. What was Jesus doing by speaking parables and figures of speech? He was laying foundational stones in them, feeding them milk. They didn't even drink milk so they could feed off the meat of his flesh, the meat of his body, the meat of the Word of God. Now we know that you know all things and don't need anyone." He told them plain right out exactly when other times he did not. And there was a reason for that. He said, "I'm going to go to the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you." And yes, you know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely stark, raving, crazy, amazing. All right, do y'all see what I'm saying tonight? He tells them in verse 28, he said, "I came from the Father and entered into the world, and in turn I will leave the world and go to the Father." Now that they didn't, he always told them that he was going to die. They didn't believe it. But now he's telling them straight up, "I came from the Father and entered the world. In turn, I will leave the world and go to the Father." Now, you see, that's why Jesus was rebuked by Peter, because all the religious teaching of that day was that Jesus was the son of David, and once he came, the Messiah was going to rule on the throne of David forever. And he tried to tell them in many different ways. He told them in parables. He told them in figures of speech, and they would walk away going, "Man, do you know what he means? No, I don't know what he means. Do you know what he means? No, I don't know what he means. Let's go ask him what he meant." Because that's the way he did it, because you know what? They couldn't handle it at the time. They couldn't handle the real truth. So when he says, "I came from the Father and I'm going back to the Father," in other words, "I'm leaving you," his disciples said, "Now you are speaking plainly and without figures of speech." Right? So now he was speaking very plainly. All right, so let's go here just for a moment, if you would. Thank you for being with me tonight. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version just for the fun of it. He's telling them, a little while you will see me no more. Verse 16. I will be with you no longer. And again, a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is that he is saying to us, a little while? So he's kind of telling them in his figurative language, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you'll see me. Not, well, anybody be going like, what does that mean? And he says, because I go to the Father. So they were saying, what does it mean, a little while? Do you not know? We do not know what you're talking about, Jesus. And they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while, you'll not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being is being born into the world. So also you will have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing, and you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech, but the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. Verse 25, he's saying right here. So this is what I'm saying to you, friend. We are about to move into a place where we are no longer going to hear the prophets or the true prophets that are speaking the word of the Lord, that are speaking what's going on now, that are into the vein of what God is doing, not in what the political system and not in what the religious system is going to be saying, but what God is saying. There's going to be very few figure of speech ministry going on. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because he loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father to come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And then they said, oh, now you're speaking plain. He started making it very, very clear. Wow. And then he says, verse 34, do you now believe? Yo, the hour's coming, indeed, and it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I will not be alone, for my Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he's saying right here to them, he had Judas that betrayed him, but then he had his disciples who basically left him alone because that was the will of the Father. So he was telling them very plainly, not just Judas is going to betray me, but you all are going to leave me alone. He was telling them exactly, verbatim, you all are going to go, you're each going to go your own way. That happened after the crucifixion. He says, don't worry about me. I'm not going to be alone, for the Father's with me. But this had to be done, right, because of the will of God. And so the whole thing here is that Jesus is saying, verse 25, he said, I've been speaking to you in figures of speech, but the hour's coming, and it's now that I will speak to you no longer in figures of speech. Now, this is kind of what's been happening with me. Since November the 11th, on November the 3rd was the election, and when the election no one was the winner, and then 4 days later, on November the 7th, Joe Biden was counted the winner and stayed the winner, and because the Republicans, whatever, but because God was choosing to take the world and everything else in a different direction. Now, we have been here at PGN, we have been giving many figures of speech about this. If you've been listening long, you know that we've been giving figures of speech about this over and over again. Some of you could not hear it. Most, I don't know anybody who heard it. Maybe a little here, a little there. But even when I would talk about Trump, you know, how he can win the election pretty easy because if the economy stays good and blah, blah, blah. But I kept saying to you, and you hear me say it over and over again, but I said, I hear another voice, Joseph Biden. I said that over and over and over again. What was that? What was that? That was figure of speech. I didn't say Joseph Biden is going to be the next president of the United States of America. God wouldn't let me say it. He only told me to say what he gave me. That was it. It was figures of speech. 2 years before the election, what did God do? He spoke to us in parables. You remember the parable? Anybody remember the parable God spoke to us? Figures of speech. Remember I had a dream and God showed me about Caligula and that Caligula was like Trump and Caligula was taken out of his reign after 3 years and 10 months. I shared that over and over again. I said, pray for America. Pray for Trump because 3 years and 10 months, this Caligula is Trump. Caligula is Trump. That, what was that? That was a parable. It was a figure of speech. God's trying to say, he didn't let me come out and write out and say it because he gave it to me in figure of speech, would only let me give it in figure of speech. And some of you have been with us for a long time. You don't remember any of that? Maybe you don't listen very well. I think most of you do. But, you know, over and over and over. What was that? What was that? That was figure of speech. God was graciously telling. It's like Jesus said, I've been speaking to you in figures of speech. There's a season where God speaks to us. Oh, I can't believe prophets don't, you know, if you can't just tell us exactly what's going on, Chandler, then you're not a real prophet. Really? Yeah. Way to go. That's good thinking. Not right thinking, but it sounds really amazing. No, because Jesus was a prophet. He was a shepherd. He knew how to do things. He shared things in figures of speech for a reason. He was laying a foundation. Could you imagine? I mean, even though we've been telling people this for 2 years, over 2 years now, and before the presidency of the election of Joe Biden, God spoke to me, as you, most of you know, shouted the name Joseph Biden to me in 2008. I kept looking for him to fulfill his position because God had never shouted anything to me before. He didn't tell me Joseph Biden's going to be president of the United States. He just shouted the name Joseph Biden. But because he shouted it to me and has never shouted to me before that or after that, and he's told me some major world events that have happened, especially in the financial arena, that have happened verbatim, I knew, you know, at least I knew that it was important, that it was big. I didn't know every little detail about it at the time. I just thought all he's ever done is run, other than Senate, he's run for president. Somewhere or another, he didn't seem like it to me. It didn't make any sense to me, but somehow he's going to fit into something major because God shouted it to me. And the mantle that God has given me is political, a governmental mantle, which is political, and the financial mantle. Gave that to me, or manifested itself in 2005, January 11, 2005. I've told you about it many times, where a voice came and spoke to me like a child and said, there's a massive merger coming, like a merger of companies. And from that time on, I started having information given to me about the market. The last time when Trump was president and the market went down, we gave a word right the day before. It went sinking down to the bottom. The day before, it went sinking down to the bottom. We got right here on PGN. It's documented. I said, there's going to be a, God said, show me today, there's going to be a head-on collision in the market. He didn't give me numbers and dates, but friend, when you talk about a head-on collision, now it didn't last long, just like I told you when the interpretation was that it's a head-on collision, the market's going to have a head-on collision, but it's going to turn around quick. And sure enough, you know, the market sunk that very day and went all the way down to where Obama had it. Trump lost everything he made in the market, everything that all the records and all the historical things in the market just got lost in about 30 days. And we got the word right here on PGN. Were you listening to that? Where were you guys at? the day it turned around, I came back on the show, and when the, I remember the day that it happened. The market sunk down to the bottom, and Trump comes out, and he announced on TV about hexachloroplane, what was it called? Hydroxychloroplane, that thing that they banned after he said it worked, and it did work. I came on that show that night because when I watched that program, as soon as I watched that program, and he came out and he said that, I didn't know anything about what he was talking about. I heard him say a lot of things, but God said, all of a sudden I saw the spirit of fear broken off. Came on the show that night and said, Trump said something about hydroxychloroquine, and I said it is now going to turn around. And sure enough, that day or the next day, the market went up historically, 3-day historical round, up, and it just went up from then on. And that's exactly what we said right here. All right, and I could go after thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. And God's trying to speak plainly, friend. Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. I'm not sure you're ready. I think that God's going to give it anyway. So hang on to your seatbelt because it's going to come whether you're ready or not. You know what? Because there's somebody out there that's going to be ready. Some people are going to have an ear to hear. Some people have a foundation. And many don't. They've been sucking up that milk of that pre-tribulation rapture thing. They're not ready for anything. Those preachers are going to be held accountable for every bit of it, I guarantee you. And I'm not very happy about it, and neither is God. Because what I'm feeling is a frustration of the Holy Spirit about all this thing. So now that the Joe Biden thing happened on the 7th of November, from that day on, I told you what happened to me. The reverential fear of God exploded in my spirit, man, and went all over me. And I don't, oh, my God. The Lord said, everything I've been telling you is going to happen now, Randy. And I don't know if you've been listening or not. I don't know where everybody's been exactly. But I've been telling you that about the two witnesses. I've been telling you about the Antichrist being unveiled. We're in that season, friend. We've been in it for – I gave that word before Hillary Clinton became – before she was taken out. God told me that they were going to take her out. She was going to be taken out. I thought that meant that she wasn't going to be the nominee for the – I thought that Biden was going to be it. But he decided not to run, as most of you know. You heard me talk about it right here on the show. I was shocked. So, well, I guess Biden's not going to be on that one. But the word of the Lord I gave many, many times, months before this, it ever happened, that they're going to take her out. And they took her out. And the whole Fox, everything on Fox and CNN was for 3.5 years while Trump was there, was about who took Hillary Clinton out. So it's been amazing. It's been an amazing ride. I don't know where people have been on this. I don't know, you know. But you can kind of understand why most of you didn't get it. I don't really know anybody that got it. Why? Because he was speaking in figures of speech, in parables. The Caligula scenario was pretty plain spoken, but it was a parable. You heard me say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Pray for America because Caligula is Trump in this scenario, and Caligula got taken after 3 years and 10 months. His wife's name was Melania. His fourth wife was named Melania. Trump's third wife is named Melania. I mean, and their personalities were exact. I talked about this over and over again. Maybe you guys got tired of hearing it. I'm not sure where you're at on that, but it's all right there on the show. And God's trying to say, get ready, because Chandler is going to start speaking without figures of speech, ready or not. Here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. And they're going to call me, and like they already have, they call me a Democrat, I've been called all kinds of things. And I kind of like it, actually. I don't feel sorry for myself at all. I actually enjoy it. I really do. And they know I enjoy it, so they watch how they deal it out. Yeah, they're very smart. I guess that's good. But Y'all hear anything out there? Tonight? Everybody hear me? Anybody out there? Anybody out there listening? All right. So that's what's going on, friend. I mean, they're calling me. They're calling me all kinds of things. You'd be surprised at some of the stuff. Even some of our ex PGN friends have, you know, sent me emails. One of them is a guy. One of them is a guy. Not everybody PGN friends, ex friends, but you know, calling me, you know, and I'm in deep error, and you know, they gave me a real, it made me feel really, really good. It's like, man, I must be really stirring him up because he's really ticked off. And I was saying Trump wasn't going to win anything after November the 7th. Really, really made a lot of people really, really mad, y'all. And I haven't shared it with you because I'm not going to sit here and whine. That hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. You know what? Jezebel is a hurt my feelings person. The spirit of Jezebel is about you hurt my feelings. That's what it's about. We're going to talk about it some night. Because Jezebel represents a woman, and a woman, you know, is more about feelings and emotions. Well, thank God women are about feelings and emotions. When they're godly, it's a beautiful thing. But when it's ungodly, it's all about their feelings. Well, we don't want to tell them they can't get married. Those two boys are going to get married. We don't want to hurt their feelings. The whole world's going to be about, you know what's going on right now? The Jezebel thing is going there because everybody's like, oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And the Antichrist spirit is using that. Yes, I'm listening. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, the Jezebel spirit, y'all, he can tell I'm getting more serious, right? But that's not me, believe me, because I like to have fun. I like to play. I enjoy life. I used to be hyper serious. Thank God I'm not hyper serious anymore, or all this would be coming out really rough. But I've grown a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Jezebel spirit, you can see it in the social networking, friend, because what it's all about, don't you be saying anything to hurt anybody's feelings. And you can see where that's going, right? Anybody can see where that's going? It's going toward the, you can't say Jesus Christ is the Son of God because it's an Antichrist spirit. The Jezebel spirit works together with the Antichrist spirit. It's all part of it. They're married to one another. And you can't say anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. So therefore, you can't really say anything to anybody that's controversial. Even though they will do it, they'll cut your head off, and it may hurt your feelings, but, well, that's different. We'll cut your head off. That's different when they're doing that, right? That's not really hurting your feelings. That's like getting rid of the problem. Well, they're not going to get rid of the problem, friend. That's just what they think they're going to do. When you understand the Word of God, all these Jezebel spirits are just men and women, subject to a female spirit of, in the Antichrist form, Antichrist meaning against Christ, in the form of feelings. It's all going to be about feelings. All I have is, all they got is feelings. Feelings are good. When they're in God, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. When a woman is a woman of God, and they're telling you the truth in love, they're more concerned about your eternal feelings than they are about anything else. So it's not about that women don't tell people the truth. Of course they do. But they're careful. They're gentle. They try to be careful and be strong at the same time. And on the whole basis behind the telling the truth from a woman's perspective is not about trying to hurt your feelings, unless they get mad at you, then you probably deserve it, right? Yeah. So then they try to hurt your feelings, but generally speaking, you know. So that's just the way a female spirit is. Well, a male spirit, you know, a male spirit just has more issues than that, but. We're looking at a Jezebel spirit, which is representative of a woman, and there's a reason why the Jezebel spirit is female and how it identifies itself, how it manifests itself, and how it does things. So you have to realize that. Oh, don't be giving, you know, I mean, I've had that spirit tell me, don't give somebody that word, that's going to hurt their feelings. Yeah, I mean, I've had that voice try to speak to me. Don't tell them that, that's going to hurt their feelings. The fear of man. The fear of man. And I've told you about how God spoke to me about that many years ago. Because when you're a prophet, that's why Jezebel hates the prophets. It's not that we try to go around hurting people's feelings. It's just that when you especially get to the point where we're going to come now, we're going to speak this all in love. But there's not going to be, if any, more figurative speech. It's not going to be any more, okay, God gave me a parable. He can liken President Trump to Caligula. who had, you know, had all these issues, and I named all these issues, and it's just Donald Trump all the way. I mean, you know, when you read about Caligula, it's Donald Trump. Caligula was the Roman emperor, I think the third Roman emperor. Oh, dude, that guy was just like Trump, man. Except a Roman, who Romans, their sexual life is totally, you know, worldly. I mean, at least Trump, you know, tried to at least act like he changed it, or changed, hopefully changed. He probably did. I don't really know. At least, but with Caligula, I mean, in the Roman Empire, I mean, sexual things, it was just like nothing. So to them to do some of the things we would consider really harsh and bad, they just thought that was just normal. So comparing, you know, when you put them together, an American president being compared to Caligula, it's not that they're exactly the same, but it's the morality differences, but still Trump had, you know, that kind of thing going on before, right? So, I mean, it didn't mean he was wrong or bad for what he was doing, but it was just a warning saying, I'm giving you a warning in the form of figurative speech here to a parable about Caligula. And Caligula, the phenomena of that was so amazing. Caligula ran around deliberately and willfully calling his political enemies in front of everybody. He would call them donkeys and a bunch of other names. I mean, just like Donald Trump, exactly like Donald Trump. I've never heard anybody talk about a leader of the world like they have Caligula and Trump. They're so much alike. And what was that? That was figurative speech. It was God speaking in parables, trying to tell us something, even the 3 years and 10 months when he'd be taken out in a boat in 3 years and 10 months, which was when he was voted out. It was all spoken right there, friend. Right there. So the reason I'm telling you that is not, I'm not rebuking anybody. I have to rebuke myself. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to prepare you for what's about to happen. You want plain spoken? I don't think most people want plain spoken. I think people like the parable thing, like they're trying to figure out what it means. When I prophesy, I heard one prophet say, when I prophesy, I let the people interpret. Yeah, well, when Jesus starts prophesying now, he ain't going to need an interpreter. They're not going to be saying, what did he say? I don't understand. What was he saying? Now, that's over, friend. Basically, I don't know about overall, but everything about it, but we're into that phase. Get ready for it. It's going to be shocking because God's going to shock the world. He's going to give shocking information that's going to shock people into waking up. Nothing else is waking them up. Joseph Biden becoming president of the United States woke some people up, friend. Do you realize that? It got them on the fight mode, man. Yeah, there's a reason for all that. We're going to talk about that real soon when we have more time. All right. All right, let's take our first caller tonight. Praise God. Are y'all ready for blunt and upfront in love? I hope so. It's going to come anyway. Some people will get mad and leave for a while and whatever they do, you know, we'll just pray for them. Believe God. It's okay. You know, people got to sometimes go away and think about things. And, you know, so just give people a grace and chance, give them a chance, give them mercy and, you know, give people a chance to, you know, go back and forth and up and down. And when they finally, you know, realize whatever God shows them, then praise the Lord. You know, we'll be thankful for it. I've had the same thing going with me. We've all been there. Up and down and up and down. Until God solidifies you, until God shows you things, you don't know him. If he doesn't show you, you're not going to be solid. You're not going to have a foundation. Your foundation comes from hearing from him, period. All right, let's take callers tonight. Hallelujah. Good to be with you. It is Monday night, and as you can tell, I'm a rocking and a rolling. Yes, sirree. And so I hope you got that message tonight. I'm trying to make it clear, make it plain. And I've been speaking more plain since November the 7th, if you haven't noticed. And I just explained to you what's going on the best I could. All right, let's go here to 940-224. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Michael from Texas.
Oh, hey, Michael.
Hey.
All right, Michael, let's pray for you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael, God. that God's going to begin to show you the scripture that talks about there's not male nor female in Christ Jesus, not Jew nor Gentile. Let me see if I can find that scripture here. All right, Galatians 3:28 through 27 and 28 says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so, Michael, I see God really trying to communicate with you, some new things. And, so get ready for that. And it's going to be a lot about, it's going to be a lot of it's going to be information about culture and the change of culture and what God is talking about with culture. And how to, not be offended in the culture that we're in. Like the enemy's going to use a lot of things. Like, okay, I had my phone in the wrong place. Hopefully, let me see here. Okay, Michael. So if you heard me talk about the scripture, we're going to see the Lord begin to, open you up to take you out of the cultural, Jew or Greek or black or white, or whatever, and Christian, non-Christian, he's going to bring you into a thing of understanding that, in Christ, we belong to Christ. In Christ, we are of Christ. In Christ, we're all brothers. In Christ, we're all sisters. In Christ, we're all, the same in Christ. It's not male or female. It's not Greek or Jew. But, and so God's showing you how to see that, because there's going to be a lot of offenses being made, a lot of offense. People are going to take offense to a lot of things because of their culture. You offended my culture. You offended my, I'm a Jew, or I'm a Greek, or I'm a black, or I'm an Indian, or I'm whatever, that you offended my culture. You offended my, who I am. And so when we start realizing that that's one of the things that one of the great weapons the enemy is going to use to offend people and to get people in the flesh, to get them fighting with a warrior spirit, the wrong fighting spirit, is when we start fighting for our culture or for, our race, instead of the race that God, the God race, the race that God made all races, and see that all races were made by God and for God and through God. And as God opens that up to you, it's going to change the way you look at things. It'll change the way you see things. It'll change the way you respond to things. It'll change the way you look at the way people look at you. And it's also, as God does that work in you, bro, it's also going to open you up to, some of the like sometimes like the Mexican people, many times get looked at as, Mexicans from Mexico and, whatever. And so the things we get taught about that, we get a certain image about them. And in Christ Jesus, we don't see the Mexicans as from Mexico. We see the Mexicans as God's creation, as God's people, as a different color, a different flavor, a different part of God. One of the manifestations of God's love and his nature is through the Mexican people or whatever. The Indians, the African Americans, the Russians, the Italians, and start seeing people in one in Christ Jesus instead of seeing the walls that are built up through man's prejudice in respect to the persons. All right, let's go here and talk to him and see what's going on. All right, Michael, what's going on, brother?
Hey,
Yeah, I was going to say that the Lord has kind of been dealing with me about that. You know, he's been helping me see things more in a different perspective, in a different light, like in that, kind of in that area.
Oh, yeah? Oh, cool. Well, get ready. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be awesome. It's going to put you in a place, you know, more and more where, you know, just like people looking at us as Christians. I mean, they judge us as Christians as being a bunch of people who believe in this, you know, person we call God, Jesus Christ, you know, and we get judged. So when we get free of all that stuff and we start seeing that's why God, that's why Jesus loved the heathen, you know, loved the lost, because he just saw them as his people. He didn't see them what color they were or whether they were lost or saved. He saw them as human beings. So it brings you into the love realm in a very powerful way.
Oh, yes, yes. And then also, you know, I just wanted to give a testimony.
Okay.
Yeah, in this season, man, the Lord has been kind of blessing me. I've been seeing breakthrough after breakthrough. About to have a roof back for my head. I'm buying a vehicle for the first time in years tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. It's different because, like, I can see the guys behind it because, like, I've never seen things just flow so easily.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know that a lot of the words that we've been getting for you lately, just in the last few months, have been how God's going to use you as an example of how he takes someone and just turns them around and blesses them financially and, you know, use them as an example of, you know, I don't remember exactly how it was in it, but like a trophy of his, you know, how God can take somebody who put him first and bless them. Seemed like the last few words you've been getting every time just about, I like going, man, that's awesome, God.
Oh, yes. Yes. And then I just wanted to pray for Tressa. And,
for who?
I want to pray for Tressa and Shelly.
Tressa and Shane, okay.
Shelly.
Okay, say it again, Shelly. Okay, so... hang on a second here. Okay, for Shelly?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Tressa?
And, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who else?
And...
Okay, so Shelly and Tressa.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. Hey, what an awesome testimony. So you're going to get your... So you're working on getting a car here, what, in the next few days, or...?
Oh, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Wow. That is really awesome. Yeah, because I know you've been having some difficult times lately, and some things you've been telling me you've been going through, and then all of a sudden I hear the Lord just start prophesying over you just the opposite. You know, it's like, get ready. You know, God's going to make you a trophy of his, show what he'll do, you know, and even financially and the whole thing. So, wow, I'm believing God with you for that. For, you know, that's really awesome, brother. That's really, really cool.
Amen.
All right, let's pray for Tressa and for Shelly. All right, let's do that. Thank you. I'm gonna mute you just for a second. And thank you, Lord, for Tressa. And we thank you for Tressa, God, that God, you keep and protect her and keep her from making any mistakes that will affect her life for like 5-10 years down the road. We all make mistakes, but some of our mistakes sometimes can cost us years of our life. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over Tressa and God blessing her and keeping her, watching over her, and let her let the heart of God in her, let her, as she puts the Lord first and puts in a very practical way, that you begin to show her the practical way of living as a Christian, and not just the hyper spiritual stuff, but the very practical things. And being able to put things into action, God, that she's not only a talker but a doer. The Bible says, be not just talkers but doers. Pray and obey, as many people say. And I thank you, Jesus, for imparting to her, God, the revelation of that and equipping her with a love for the brothers and a love for family and a love for, you know, children and family and the whole thing. And thank you, Jesus, for that. And bless her, God, and open her heart to know that she's that you're going to treasure her. You treasure her, Lord, and that you want to give her the desires of her heart, God. You're just going to do it your way. You know, we have many desires God's given us, to have family, to have wealth, have blessing, you know, have homes, houses. But, you know, but God has a way of doing it. So he uses that desire for family, home, wealth, you know, business, provision. He uses all that he's given us, that he has given us a desire for. He uses that to teach us how to trust him. Because we can't live every day we live. We go out and we work and we make a living for what? To basically a family, most of them. You know, to buy a house, to buy a home, to buy a car, to do all those things. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. And that you use those things to teach us how to seek you and how to get those things that you want us to have. In fact, family and husband and all that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Shelly, God. We thank you for Shelly, God, that you give her a singing heart, a heart to sing and worship you and to know you, God, and learn how to give things over to you and not get worried and anxiety. And let stress and anxiousness get her down, God, that you give her strength and courage, Father, because she cares very deeply. And the more we care deeply, the more the enemy tries to take advantage of that and oppress us with worry and fret. That's just one of the fruit of people who really care. And I thank you, Jesus, for taking that love in her heart, God, and that care that she has inside of her, and open her up to the love and mercies of God, to the grace and kindness of God. To how to care like the Lord cares, how to plant and water, and let God give the increase. But we don't worry about the results. We let God give the results, and therefore, you know, it's not our business to produce results. That you produce results. So Jesus, I thank you for that, and help her be fruitful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Michael. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, man. Well, hey, congratulations. Do you know what kind of car you're going to get yet?
Nissan Altima.
Oh, cool. Nice. So you haven't had a car in quite a while, right? I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, a long time.
Like, yeah. Really? That's awesome.
5-6 years, yeah.
Oh, that is, yeah. Well, I went. I had bought a car once, and you know, make my payments on it every month, that kind of thing. And had a pretty good job working at the fire department at the time. And the Lord told me, he said, "I want you to sell your car." I'm going, "Sell my car, and do how am I going to get around?" He said, "You're going to walk." What? I'm going to do what? You know, they shocked me, man. I went, "I'm going to do what? You're going to walk?" You know, I'm going, "God, I got the money." I was working at the fire department. Had a pretty good job. It was like, you know, and the fire department I worked at, the station I worked at was about 5 blocks down the road, so it wasn't that far to go to work. But I'm going, like, he had me walking everywhere, man. Had me walking everywhere. And he said, "I want you to," you know, at that time, he said, "because I want you to, you know, take the money you're paying those payments and give it to the kingdom of God." I'm going, like, okay. So I did it, you know. And then I was always thankful. So I went, I don't know how long I went without a car, but it wasn't too long, but it was. It's kind of different not having a car. That's what I'm trying to say. I know exactly what that feels like. All right, yes, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Right. We'll be looking forward to seeing a picture of that thing.
All right. Thank you.
All right, brother. All right. Good talking to you, man. Congratulations. All right. Awesome. Great testimony. Yeah, we've been giving words to Michael about that just recently. He's been kind of like, you know, living homeless, basically, in many ways. And I don't know exactly all the details on that, but wow. And then all of a sudden, God started having me speak over him to, you know, to be blessed and to prosper. God's going to use him as an example of blessing him, you know, financially and providing for him. And wow, this looks like that's going on. So very exciting. Very, very grateful to God for that. Bless you, Michael. All right, let's go here to our next caller here. Let's go to 901-501. Who am I talking to? Ray Frum, please.
All right, 901-501.
Hello?
Yes, can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Yeah, this is Daniel Isby, Memphis, Tennessee.
Daniel? All
yeah.
right. Hey, Daniel, have you ever talked before?
Yeah, we've talked before. It's been a while.
Okay, good. All right, well, good to have you, Daniel. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to mute you, and then I'll pray for you.
Thank you, Lord. You kind of sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure exactly. All right, Daniel. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel. God, I thank you for the heartbreaking things that have gone on in his life. Lord, that you're taking the things that have broken his heart and healing his heart. The very things that have broken his heart. You know, sometimes there's different things that break our heart. You know, sometimes we lose things. Sometimes things get taken away from us. Sometimes, you know, we expect something to happen and it doesn't happen. And sometimes we get something and then we lose it. All the different things that break our heart. And all at the same time, God is breaking open your heart to pour into your heart too. Sometimes we go through broken times so God can break into our heart in ways, in areas they haven't been able to get to. Like he's done that with me. Like I've gone through some really hard breaking times where God was breaking me open for something new. He was breaking me open, breaking my heart, really breaking my heart and my mind sometimes. You know, it's like, wow, I can't believe that just happened. And in the breaking process of that, as difficult as it was, he was opening me up for divine visitation, divine appointments. And so everything that you've been going through that had broken your heart to, you know, either a large degree or just a small degree, that God's going to take those disappointments and make them appointments with God and open you up for appointments for him. And so thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, God, that you are you know, watching over him and keeping him and sharing with him and letting him know that you know, even sometimes God does allow things to happen, you know, to us, like he did with Job. He allowed Job to be broken. Job was really broken. He was really heartbroken, lost all of his children, lost all of his wealth. His wife told him to curse God and die, and, you know, because she was so heartbroken and you know, she thought maybe he was doing some things behind her back or something. I don't know what she thought, but she was messed up over it. And who could blame her? It was a really hard thing. And so, but the whole thing is that God allowed him to be broken because he was opening him up and so he could increase him and double him. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Daniel. I thank you for the things you're doing in his heart. God, to set him free, to deliver him, to show him new things, to bring him into a whole other place with you, God, that he can speak your word with clarity and with strength and power, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Daniel, what's going on? How are you, sir?
Everything's going all right. God is revealing things to me and showing me how to do things his way. And I appreciate him. I appreciate him taking time out with me. really do. And,
yeah. Well, he loves it. He loves to take time out with us. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, and I want you to. I want to pray for my wife, Debbie.
Okay.
She is big, and she got a dementia. And I want you to pray over for me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I can imagine that's probably breaking your heart a little bit of it. That would me. I think that would break my heart to know that it's going with my wife. Wow. So, Lord, I thank you for taking this very situation of his wife, Debbie, with dementia, God, and the things that breaking his heart, Father, to open his heart up to more of you, to receive more of you, to be open for more of you, to be able to glorify you more and more, God. Sometimes we go through brokenness to receive, you know, the power to heal brokenness. So I thank you, Lord, that you help him to heal her brokenness, to help her in her brokenness, to help him in his brokenness, in Jesus' name, in this situation. Lord, we just thank you for a mighty deliverance. We thank you, power of God, to deliver. We thank you, Lord, for the we speak over her brain and to her neurological system. Neurological. Am I saying that right? I don't even know what I'm saying.
for neurological. I can't even say what I see. The neurological.
You're saying
the neurological.
Than I can.
Pardon me?
I said you saying it better than I can.
Okay, thank you. Well, I don't know. I'm just seeing. I see a word. I'm not sure. I know I've heard that word before, but I can't seem to say it. So, thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We just speak it into our brain, God. We speak you strength and health. We speak. The nutrition that her brain needs, God, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, to turn this thing around, God, to heal her, deliver her, God, in the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and to help my brother to. As his heart is broken over this thing, to heal his heart at the same time that it's being broken in Jesus' name, and bless them and bless their relationship, Father. And thank you for showing Daniel how to lay his life down for his wife and all the different ways that he does, Father, to be patient and kind. And you're just opening up Daniel to a whole other realm of your love and your compassion through this brokenness that he's going through, Jesus. Amen. Neurological.
Amen.
I still can't say it, brother.
But that's all right, Alan. I appreciate you. I appreciate you praying for us.
Well, you're welcome. We love it. I know your voice just sounds very familiar. It's just been a while since I think we've talked to you, but that's just great,
yeah.
Man. How long has she been suffering with that?
Probably about 4 years.
Okay. Right, about 4 years. Wow. Yeah, somebody said, I said it right. Sharon said, I said it right. It means something to do with her nervous system. Yeah. So. All right. Yeah. Yeah, so about 4 years then. My goodness. Yeah. I don't know much about dementia, but what little bit I do know about. I know they had a show about Glenn Campbell when he went through that. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they had a special with Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell, I think, ended up dying of dementia or Alzheimer's. I can't remember which one it was, but they actually recorded him going into his situation. You know, going into the negative part of it. And he was out traveling, and his wife was with him, and they talked about how he had dementia and how the doctor, diagnosed him with dementia. It was a pretty – if you get a chance to see that, you might try to look that up. You might be able to find it on YouTube, Glenn Campbell's story on dementia. It's actually, I think, an hour-long documentary on – pretty amazing.
All right, then, I will.
Yeah. All right, my brother. Well, let us know how you're doing.
All right, then, Randy.
Well, it's been very nice talking to you, and we'll be praying for you and believing God with you. Anything else you want
to
share or pray for or whatever?
Oh, no, that's fine, Randy. I'll be listening to your show. I appreciate you.
Okay, Daniel. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, too. Thank you.
Okay, then.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, good to have you. All right. 863-605, my friend from Florida, Nikki.
Hey, Randy.
Hey.
Can
what? Don't you
can
dare
you
laugh
hear me?
Anymore. Don't you dare laugh anymore. Last time I talked to you and Charles, y'all were laughing. And you didn't really need to be laughing. And yet I was laughing too. So, anyway, God is good. Let's pray for you. Thanks for you. I'm going to mute you there for a second, and then we'll come back and visit. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki tonight from Florida. Thank you, Jesus, for the heart you've given them, for loving people and understanding, people and how the enemy gets in and how it's our job to love each other through things. And when we catch the enemy doing something, he pays us back sevenfold. And I thank you, Jesus, for everything that God, that you catch the enemy doing in Nikki and Charles' life, and you bust them, that you're going to give back sevenfold every time he tries to steal something or take away something. God, that you bless them back, like the scripture talks about when the thief gets caught, he has to restore seven times. So I thank you, Jesus, for that and for a restoration period of busting the enemy and restoration period of yeah, some type of restoration going on. In Jesus' name, amen. That's pretty cool. All right. That was fast and easy.
Hello.
Yes, there you are. We got you.
Oh.
I
don't know what happened. No, I think I had it on mute, and when I went to turn the phone back on, because the screen turned black, I didn't realize it. So it's my fault.
Okay. Yeah. So hey,
my bad.
Some kind of restoration thing going on there with that. With like, you know, I mean, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That was like,
yeah.
I mean, I've never expected that. Cool.
You know, and I want to say something about that. You know, we have this picture of restoration and how it should look, or at least I do. I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be restored, this and that, what. But, you know, God restores in such a mystery sometimes. You don't see it coming. It, like, comes out of left field, and you don't think about that needing to be restored. But I thank him for it.
That's
all.
Good.
You know.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. You know, sometimes God works in mysterious ways, man. Sometimes he can just do something that looks like it's going to mess up something, and you think the enemy's doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden you realize that God is in the midst of it doing something awesome.
Yeah, and it's amazing because, you know, his grace and his mercy is so sufficient. And if you got to really keep your mind right on all of it too, because you can say, no, that's not being restored when you look at it. But, you know, you don't never know what's going on behind the scenes. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of awkward that you would say, I see some restoration going on when, I mean, Charles probably wouldn't say that right now, but we receive it.
Yeah.
And I believe it. I believe it, you know. I believe it. And so I'm going to leave it at that. But, yeah. I ain't a whole lot I can say about the rest of it. But if you could, though, I am asking for prayer for a couple. And,
all right.
I don't think I really need to say any names, but if we could pray for an unspoken request, let me put it that way, and if we could pray for Stephanie and Kyle and Lillian, if that's possible, we could do that. That would be really awesome.
Okay, so we're going to pray for a couple and then anonymous, whatever, and then,
mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on a second here. Let me go here. Okay. Let me get this one. Okay. Stephanie and Kyle and Lillian. And then a couple. Okay. All right. Let's do that. I'm going to mute you and pray for that. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Yes. Sometimes, you know, God just does things in mysterious ways. It's like, yeah. God, it's just, it doesn't look, may not look like sometimes that we're fixing to go through with some restoration, but yeah, that's what I see going on, so it's really unusual. Okay, praying for like this couple, God, just going, the nameless couple. We thank you, Jesus, that you take the nameless couple, God, and you begin to show them about your name, how your name is powerful, how your name is, you know, what it's all about, that it's not about them, but it's about their name. Their name and your name, that your name and their name become, you know, important. And that that it's about names and about even about calling names and using names and saying names and calling people names, even in that realm of name, the whole name realm. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for their name, for their personal names, for the individual names, their couple's names, their married name, or whatever it is, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for setting that right. And and about honoring the name of Jesus and putting the name of Jesus first and what God was first, and putting ourselves second, putting ourselves in order, that you're setting in order this couple, God, in Jesus' name. You're setting things in order and showing them what your name really means, what that means to have, bear the name of Christ, and what it means to bear the name of Christ as a couple. And in Jesus' name, and to set things right, God, and to open up and to uncover those things that you're God's just uncovering things, but he uncovers things with the purpose of restoring. And when God starts uncovering, the Lord starts to, restore. And if the people want to get right with God, that is, they have to want it. And so for whoever this couple is, God, I thank you, Jesus, that they will desire and want to be free and represent Christ's name in a as a couple together instead of individually only. We lift up Christ's name individually. As individuals, we are submitted to him and responsible and accountable to him. But even as couples, there's a whole different level of responsibility. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening them up to that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and amen, and amen. All right, thank you, Jesus, and bring that together. Stephanie and Kyle and Lillian, Father, we thank you for Stephanie and Kyle. We thank you, God, for all the stuff they're going through. Lord, that you guide and protect, and you expose things there. You're exposing things. You're uncovering things that the enemy tries to creep in and do things. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to, cause people to you're going to start showing people, Stephanie and Kyle, and Lee, you're going to start showing them where they're at with you. You can have one person right with God and doing God's will. And as a couple, again, like Stephanie and Kyle, couples, but as a couple where God wants them, if they're not in that place, then it opens up doors for troubles and unnecessary things. And I thank you, Jesus, that you show them how to shut those doors. We don't have to always even believe the same things. We have Christ as our Messiah and as our Savior, but then we can even go to different churches and have different, kinds of doctrines, although there's many different kinds of doctrines that you can have. The basic foundation is correct. Like tonight we talked about that people weren't ready even for milk. They barely were able to drink milk because they don't have their foundation laid right. So we thank you, Jesus, that you've laid the foundation of individuals right, but laid the foundation of their marriage right, God, in Jesus' name, that you begin to do that in Jesus' name. And it's not all about you believe exactly like I believe and all that, like we think it should be, but you just do it for each person individually is solid in Christ and their foundation with you, Lord, so that Lillian can be blessed, so that Lillian can be protected, so that Lillian can be kept, that you will use whatever you have to, God, to shut the door so that Lillian is protected because, children are just open up to the supernatural realm. And thank you, Jesus. If the husband and wife team are learning how to flow together, that child is protected and kept. And when they go through hard times and struggles, and they will, that you bring them through it and you restore them, bring things back to its place and keep and watch and protect. And God, wherever the enemy tries to take advantage, the Holy Spirit opened up the door for you to take advantage in Jesus' name. For the Holy Spirit's taking advantage of things. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to take advantage of everything in Stephanie and Kyle's life and Lillian. You're going to take advantage of it in Jesus' name. You're going to take advantage. You're going to open up. You're going to protect. You're going to keep. You're going to watch over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And we speak over that Stephanie enters into that declarative realm, declaring the will of God, declaring over her husband, over her family, over her loved ones, over her DNA, declaring the will of God, the purposes of God, and that she will understand the purposes of God are not always exactly what we think they are, but it's just God's will being done. And we thank you, Jesus, that she will begin to declare and decree that by the Spirit of God and for protection and for, when the altar is set in order in a family, it's different. When you got individual, like the wife maybe walking submitted to God and not the husband or the other way around. So thank you, Lord, for each individual that's submitted to you, but we thank you, Lord, that you're bringing marriages together where they can raise their families in the DNA of God, in the blood of Jesus, in the character and the nature of Christ, in the protection of the Father and the angels that God has sent us because we have his DNA.
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing and washing Kyle's DNA. Cleanse and wash it. Cleanse and wash Stephanie's DNA. Cleanse and wash Lillian's DNA. We declare and decree. We declare and we get into the declarative realm tonight. I speak that your DNA, the sins of the fathers are forgiven in Jesus' name. The sins of the fathers are forgiven, that you're not going to reap in your life, in your marriage, the sins of the fathers. God's going to allow you to get through that, get past that, to avoid that by going by Christ revealing to you, the avoidance of reaping the fathers before us, and the things that they've done wrong, disobedience, that we don't want to have to pay the price for what they've done. In Jesus' name, we speak forgiveness into their bloodline, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, I release them into the power of God to live as a couple in Christ Jesus, to serve God, to rebuke the devil, and to lift up Jesus. Submit, therefore, to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 amen, and amen. All right. There you go with that. All right, let's go here to 234-352. Who am I talking to where you're from, please?
Hello?
Yes, 234-352. Who am I talking to where you're from?
My name is Mimi. I'm from Ohio.
What is your first name again?
Can you hear me? Mimi.
Yes, what is it?
M-I-M-I.
Oh, Mimi. Hi,
Mimi.
Mimi. Okay, yes, got you. Yes. All right, Mimi. I'm going to pray for
I'm
you.
I'm from Ohio.
All right, thanks. All right, doing really good. I'm going to mute you. I'm going to pray for you, Mimi, and then I'll come back and talk to you for a minute, okay? All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's pray for Mimi tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Mimi. Elliot, Lord, we just pray for Mimi tonight. We thank you, God, that you are Mimi is finding her place in the realm of God's expectations, what God expects. God doesn't always get what he wants. That's my prophecy. Prophets don't prophesy what God wants. They prophesy what God's going to do and sometimes what he's allowing to do, because sometimes God doesn't get what he wants. And the prophets, when Jeremiah the prophet prophesied over Israel for years, stopped doing what they were doing. You know, God couldn't make them do it. Well, God didn't get what he wanted there. He wanted them to repent, but they didn't do that. So he had to take him into captivity for 70 years. And that was not what God wanted. God wanted them to repent and get right. So God didn't get what he wanted. But he opened up the door for them to get what he didn't want, and that was judgment. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you're teaching Mimi how to, people don't realize that, when they get warned and told, what the will of God is, what God does want, that God wants them to get right. God wants them to live right. God wants them to stop doing what they're doing, but they choose not to do it. Then God's going to have a way of dealing with it. He'll put them in, somewhat in he'll chastise them and teach them, through chastisement. But his ultimate purpose is to bring them to God. So that's what he did with Israel. It took 70 years. He took them, and they went to Babylon, and he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come get them. He opened up the door because they wouldn't do what the Father was saying. So show Mimi, God, all the different ways that how you deal with things, how you do things, how that you open doors and shut doors, how that when people don't obey and do what God wants, then God has to do what he doesn't want, and that is to sometimes allow people to be, taken over and things go wrong. And I thank you, Jesus, for Mimi. I thank you for showing her these things, the different ways that God does, how he deals with things. And God is merciful and kind, but at the same time,
when he doesn't get his way, he has to find a way to deal with people because he doesn't let them keep going on the way they are without stopping them, like Paul the Apostle before he, you know, Saul was killing Christians. God, Jesus Christ, came and knocked him off his horse and called him to be a preacher. You know, he was going the wrong direction. He knocked him off. Sometimes that's the way God does. He'll knock somebody off their horse who thinks they're doing right, who thinks they're doing the right thing, and they're doing the wrong thing, and they're going the wrong direction. And God has to come in and stop it and turn that around and change it by knocking them off their horse. And so sometimes that's what God does. So thank you, Jesus, for Mimi. I thank you, Lord, for opening her up to, you know, to know all the different ways that God deals with things and that she can recognize when God's doing something. And people say, oh, God wouldn't do that. You know, well, maybe read the Bible and tell those people that, you know, sometimes God, like Paul the Apostle, gave somebody over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh to the saving of their soul. I mean, he had to deal with them really rough. It was really hard. Nobody wants that. But in order to get that person saved, which is God's ultimate goal, he goes to extremes sometimes. He has to do it to get that person right because he wants their soul. He knows that eternity is a long time. He does not want one person going to hell. He doesn't want one person to go to hell, ever, Mimi. All right, you know that. So what's going on, Mimi? How are you?
Fine. I need prayer for to love others, show love to others, and I don't know if I have forgiveness in my heart or anything, but pray that, you know, it will be exposed and I know who I need to forgive and for my
right.
Father to become close after my mother passed. Everyone just went their separate ways and no one really talks to each other. So pray for my family to be close and for my finances.
Right, right. Well, sometimes in family situations, there's so many different people. Yeah.
Oh, I was saying my finances. I have some money being held up.
Okay. So there's all different kinds of ways God deals with people. When he deals with people, he deals with them in all different kinds of ways. You have a family. You have like 10, 15, 20 different people. There's all different people believing all different kinds of things. No telling what's going on behind closed doors. No telling what's happening. So when we talk about dealing with families, we have to give God the right to deal with each person with what they really need. And love manifests itself in a lot of different ways. So we thank you, Lord, for manifesting your love in her family in Jesus' name. And God, somehow or another, bring each individual in the family to God. Bring them to you, Jesus. We take authority over strife and contention and rebellion and hurt and pain. And we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of strife and resentment to be broken, the spirit of unforgiveness to be just torn down in Jesus' name, that people will love and forgive one another in Jesus' name and realize that nobody's perfect and everybody can stand, when they were going to stone the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus said, which one of you? I don't have any sin. You know, help open up their eyes, God, to show them that there's not one person that doesn't have sin or some kind of something wrong in their life. So they be compassionate with each other and loving and kind with each other, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for Mimi, for her finances, God. We thank you for unlocking that money in Jesus' name and bring it in, God, so she can do what she needs to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for untying family finances. Bring in that money, God, that provision. In the name of Jesus, and I command everything that's hindering her in the name of Jesus to be broken off and destroyed in Jesus' name and release prosperity and blessing to her, Father, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Mimi, cool.
Amen. Amen. So do you have any words for me?
Pardon me?
Hello? I said, do you have any words for me? Do you see anything else?
Well, I just got the props sent over to you before I talked to you. That's what that was. It was props sent to you.
Okay.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. And yeah, that's what that word, that was a word for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, you're, okay. We have people that are new to the prophetic that don't understand what's going on. Yeah, so go back, and if you don't know how to find out how to listen to that, just text me at ministry phone number, and I'll share with you or send the link to you or whatever so you can listen to it. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else you want prayer about? What do you want ministry about? I mean, you have anything particular you want?
I don't know. I think I may be lukewarm. Have a hard time praying and reading the Bible. I could go days and days.
Right.
And
yeah. Well, it's just like anything else. Right. Very, very good. The Word of God is like a seed. When you plant a flower or you plant some kind of a seed for something to grow, you plant it, and it takes a little time for it to grow up. You know, you have to plant it and then water it. Like read the Bible and do your best to obey what it says and water it with, you know, singing and worship and prayer and do what God tells you, do what you feel like God's telling you to do. Learn how to obey him. And then let that word will start growing up in you. And pretty soon it starts leading you and guiding you from the inside instead of the outside.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have to let it grow up in you.
Okay.
And have you just started getting into the Word just recently? You just started getting into the Word just lately?
Oh, I've been trying for years.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, sometimes you have to get in a place to where you're, where people are bringing the Word of God in a way that you can, you know, that you can understand it. That helps a little bit to have people. You know, personal prophecy is really cool because it's the word of the Lord being spoken to you. It's not necessarily the Bible so much as it is things that are in the Bible, but they're prophetic words. So just give God a chance to grow his word in you. And, and go back and listen to that information that I just prayed over you before we talked, and take that as a word for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's go here to 402-214. My friend Sharon from New York.
Thanks, Randy. Yeah, I need some prayer tonight.
All right, let's pray for Sharon. Okay, let's pray for you, and I'll come back and talk to you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for sharing. Lord, we just thank you for it. We rebuke the devourer, God, in Jesus' name. Anything that tries to devour her thoughts, tries to devour her thinking, tries to devour, take away, every time she makes two steps forward and then takes a step back, we thank you, Lord, for the devourer being rebuked. I rebuke the devourer, Father, for her sake, for the Lord's sake, in Jesus' name. And, you know, give her some room to breathe, in Jesus' name. Give her some room to make decisions that take her forward, that move her forward, not move her backwards, and in Jesus' name. And thank you, God, for giving her the kind of thought processes that she can, work through her head clearly and know that what she's thinking is a God thought and not just her own thought or the devil's thought or somebody else's thought, but the thoughts that Jesus put in her mind. Show her how to recognize the thoughts of Jesus that he's putting in her, not just scripture only, but the word he's bringing alive inside you, that you will be able to recognize that when the word of the Lord is being put in you, you'll see it, hear it, know what it is, know what it's about, and to go and know how to apply it so that it can be simple and not complicated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Aaron, what's going
wonderful.
On over there in New York?
What a great prayer. What a great word. Thank you. Definitely need that. I need prayer. I'm trying to, I just got an outrageous bill for my storage, bill that nobody could pay. And I'm trying to work with them, but they're not talking to me now because I had mentioned they had talked to me about waiving the back dues. Was it COVID? If I agreed to, use their company to move the stuff here. And it's my, I've talked to you about it before. It's my personal thing. Everything for my son and my family and my photos and things that nobody else wants, you know? Everything else,
right.
Everything of value has been stolen. So, I mean, of monetary. So anyway, it's very stressful, and I'm trying to find a way to work it out. And, you know, I mean, they've given me like 3 days. You know,
wow.
It's just, it's really bad. So that's where I'm at right now. And being alone
right.
and doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not, I should have been more on top of it. I shouldn't have, you know, what I believed he had told me. He's saying he never told me, so, you know, it's just a big mess.
Yeah.
I don't know how to work it out.
Right, right. I don't either. Yeah, it sounds like a wild and crazy one there.
Yeah. But it's like
right.
throwing away your whole heritage because everything we had was there.
Yeah.
You know, my personal notes for my son and photos and, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
So I'm asking for a miracle there. Is it be possible
yeah,
to allow me to get my stuff back?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's pray about that. I'm going to mute you for a second. And thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for just giving her the miracle that she needs, God. Give her the miracle that she needs. We pray. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for intervention. We thank you for, opening that up. And let them just find a way in their heart just to, like, you know, give it, do it, forgive it. In Jesus' name, to speak forgiveness over that debt in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Father, for your merciful intervention, that your grace, in Jesus' name, to wipe that debt free and clean and get her stuff back, God, in Jesus' name. I just declare and decree it right now by the power of God. Let it be done. Let that be done in Jesus' name. No him and hon. No, in Jesus' name, let that be done. Mercy and God's will being done in the name of Jesus. Your sufficiency and your provision, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let it be done. Let it be done. All right. Amen. If you don't want to talk tonight, get your hand up there. That was my last caller with their hand up. I got a few people there tonight, Monday night. It's almost 11 o'clock. If you want prayer tonight, you want to share, you want to open up. Okay, there we go. We're good. All right, 720-819. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Randy, we're doing great. God's moving again. Everything's happening. We're doing great.
It's moving way too much, sounds like to me. I think y'all are getting, like, spoiled.
Yeah. It's starting to not make much sense, like, how fast things are going. But it's all in God's plan. We just wanted you to pray for it. Everything going on right now, we'll go into details yet, but just wondered what you thought in the spirit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do that real quick. I'm going to mute you just for a minute. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for the abundant realm, God, the abundant realm, learning how to handle the abundant realm. It's like the big test with this, with the abundant realm, is like an abundance of things happening, an abundance of things going on. And, you know, Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And so when you labor and you work, and then the rewards, I think one of the things God's teaching you is that the process of how this all, how things begin to open up, how things begin to go, he's going to show you the process of all this so that you can, you know, write it in the book. You can, you know, get it, teach it to other people, do, give people the, show people how to, the process that God's taken you through, and how you've done it together, and how that how to, keep agreeing with it so that it doesn't ever stop. It just keeps increasing and multiplying. And, and so that whole course that you're on, the test is to, learn from the process, and ask God to show you specifically, okay, what made this work? What made that work? And sometimes going to say, sometimes God tells me, like I used to ask the Lord, how come you speak to me about the market like you do? I mean, when God starts speaking to me about the market, I was just like going, why did you choose? I mean, it's so amazing. I couldn't hardly believe it. You're talking about going fast. I'm like going, I can believe it. It's like, and I got people calling me that, it's just all of a sudden I went from being a nobody in the market realm to like now I'm known around the world, at least in the financial arena. And, not everybody could say they're talking to a prophet, publicly, but it's kind of a hidden thing. People are smart. Businessmen are smart. They're not going and telling people, oh, I'm talking to a prophet helping me get information on what to do with the market. The people would just run, So it's kind of a different thing. And I had to learn how to, work things and let God work the process. And I made mistakes, but yet God kept blessing me and showing me. And I learned that the reason he was blessing me with that is because he chose me. He just chose me. It was not because I heard God's voice so perfectly. It's not that I'm so spiritual and I got everything, my marbles in the right bag and that kind of thing. It was a lot of it was because he just chose me to do it. And so when God chooses you, Jeff, to do something, Jeff and Uke, when he chooses you to do it, he just chooses you. And yes, he teaches you things and he shows you things. You learn from the process. You learn how to obey him. Obeying him just makes the road easier. Disobedience, it's not that God shuns you and says, okay, now you disobeyed me a couple times, you're out of here. No, when he chooses you for a field or an arena, it's because he works with you, failure, mistakes, whatever, just like Peter. So Peter would walk on the water and then he sunk, right? Peter was, denying the Lord and Peter rebuking Jesus, and Jesus had to say, get away from me, Satan, get back. See, all the failures, all the things, casting out devils and Peter couldn't cast them out, okay, how come we can't do this, and all these things that Peter did, but Jesus knew that he had chosen him. And once you know you're chosen, once God's showing you that he chooses you, it doesn't mean everything just flies along perfectly. It's the more you learn to obey him and obey what the Lord is saying and doing, the more that the easier it goes for you. So if the process is that, yeah, God showed me supernatural things in the market because he chose me to do it. Did I mess stuff up and did it get shut off for seasons? Yes, it did. And I had to learn how to, because God used the shutting of it off, so to speak, or shutting it down temporarily to show me that, listen, this is serious stuff. You have stepped into the treasure realm, Randy Chandler. That's what he told me. You stepped into the treasure realm. And when you step into my treasures, and I don't know if you ever watched the movie where they looked for the Ark of the Covenant. What was that called? Somebody help me out with that. Lost Raiders of the Lost Ark, whatever it's called. And so so when they got into some of those movies, when they actually broke into the treasures. When they actually finally got to the treasures of it, then it was like, you talk about temptations, you talking about like, and you saw when they opened up the ark, it just, they were told not to open up the ark, but they wanted to see the riches. They wanted to see the glory. They wanted to see the power. So when they opened it up, people started dying everywhere because the power of God came out of the ark and started frying people. Right. So there's this, when you start stepping into the holy things, and treasures in the financial realm is a very holy thing with God. But the market, I have never felt such holy reverence and awe when I mess something up or, temporarily mess it up. The reverence or awe I felt and the fear, I didn't even realize how precious it was. And how I had stepped into a realm of the treasure realm, and believe me,
the reverential awe of God is in that place, like, you know, like no place I've ever been or seen. And I mean, I'm talking about even above the prophetic realm. It's shocking how when you get in there, you better be careful what you do, you know, because it's like you'll get zapped, not forever, not to die, but you'll get zapped by the power of the reverence of all God. And it's like a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living God in that area, in that treasure area. I mean, it was shocking to me. So I don't even know why I'm telling you that exactly, but God's showing you how to, you know, make sure you give him the glory, make sure you do what he says and how he says it the best you can. And so learning how to walk in that realm is very, very powerful and very important, and it's a special place. And so I'd labored and worked all spiritually, praying, seeking God, changing, doing all that I do. And then when God moved me into that realm, I went, oh, my gosh, I can never go back. It's like, you know, I stepped into a place that was holy. You know, I mean, the treasure. I stepped into the treasures of God. And, brother, it was like you talk about tests and trials and making mistakes. And God just, as soon as I said, forgive me, God, instantly restoring things back to me. I mean, just showing me how holy that it was. You know, because once you step into those places, because when you step into that place, whatever you, I don't know how to say this. When God gave me something, it was like high level information. And he doesn't just give high level information to everybody and anybody. So I had to learn how to handle that. He knew that I was going to make mistakes, just like he knew Peter was going to sink, just like he knew Peter was going to deny him. You know, he knew all that stuff, and yet he still chose him. So knowing you're chosen and knowing that, yes, we still have to obey God. We have to, just because God chooses you doesn't mean everything works. Peter still sunk even though he was chosen. Peter still denied the Lord even though he was chosen. So we learn how to, you know, work with all that and learn to obey God, do what God says, because it's really, really holy. Anyway. All right, man, I don't know where I was going with all that, but what's up?
Oh, that was a great word. I feel like you get words and you can't talk about it. That's kind of how I feel. You can't – certain things that God has you to do, you just can't talk about it. And I feel like that's what's happening now. I have to just keep more and more secrets. And, yeah, you know, people will see. Just keep working. But it's so exciting.
Right. Right. Right.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's like when you much is given, much is called, and there's that treasure thing just really connected with me, because growing up, seeing that scene where the Nazi guys opened up the Ark and their face melted, that stuck with me as a child. That was probably the scariest thing I ever had seen on a movie in my life as a child. It just blew my mind. So that analogy really connected with me.
Yeah, so I can't believe I even thought about that. That was the one thing God had me use, was that, to explain that.
Oh, I'll never forget. I was at my friend John's house, and that came on. We watched that movie. And he fell into the snake pit, and I hate snakes so much. And then that one scene, yeah, that is, I can't even watch some of those movies still, because it's just, it's very, you know, just powerful stuff. Even the Holy Grail, you know, everyone picked the jewels and the most bedazzled, brilliant looking grail, and then the wooden one, and you had to pass the test. And I'm not saying that's a you know, I think there's a lot of occult and different things in those movies that it's driven from, but there's good analogies in there too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one about the Ark. That's about the Ark of the Covenant, and I know they kind of like have their own view of how they share. Talk about the reverential, all of that, and how you just don't mess with that stuff. I mean, there's some things you can mess with and get by with it. There's some things you don't mess with at all. You know, it's like, Yeah, so I think the theme, the overall of it, the way they describe it, they mix it with all kinds of things, but the overall of that was, I mean, I've experienced that, you know, to a certain degree, not the same exact same thing about the Ark of the Covenant, but we're talking about treasures. And when you move into the treasure realm, I've worked in Word of Knowledge. I flowed in Word of Knowledge for years. Word of Knowledge was easy for me. I could just start praying for somebody back when I first got saved and baptized the Holy Spirit. And I'd read their mail without even knowing what reading their mail was. I didn't even know what I was doing. It just happened for me just regular-like. And this went on for years, and it escalated and grew. But that wasn't the treasure realm. I mean, that's beautiful and that's precious, and yeah, it's precious to God, and it's we need to be careful. But when I stepped into that place after years and years and years of praying for the sick and, you know, reading the Word of God and seeking the Lord, you know, of course my calling was to the ministry, to the fivefold, but all the things he taught me, and then all of a sudden when I stepped into that realm, it's like when that voice spoke to me and said, there's a massive merger coming. And then from that time on, I entered into a place of the treasures of God through that one word. I still don't understand that, dude. It was amazing. I stepped into it, and people around me, and I'm talking about well-known people in the prophetic realm, saw it happen on me on a regular basis. And they had seen a lot of things, but they'd never seen anything like that. And I didn't even have a clue what I was doing. But, you know, I still had to learn and realize that, you know, the purpose for which I even was given that. I didn't even know the purpose of it. I'm thinking, oh, boy, we're going to make the body of Christ rich. That's what I thought. You know, and I'm not saying it's not true still. But anyway, one time I kind of messed up a little bit. I misunderstood something. And, I mean, I just misunderstood it. And God shut it off. It still came to pass exactly as I gave it, but I misunderstood it, and God shut it off from me, and I knew it was shut off from me. I could still flow and prophesy to people, working in Word of Knowledge, praying for the sick, that kind of thing. That was easy. That was a whole different realm. But that particular realm is like what you think about when you think about when God put the angels with the sword over the Garden of Eden. You know, if you tried to cross up in there, you'd be sliced up like a, you know, like whatever, because you couldn't enter back into it. It was so holy. And so that's the only way I can describe, you know, what I think God wants to teach you and show you, that if you'll let him, you know, you'll grow into it. And I try to teach you from my mistakes, you know, and you're going to make mistakes. That's part of it. Just like Peter made mistakes, and all of them made mistakes. So anyway, well, what a word, man. That's pretty cool.
No, that's exactly right, and it's kind of like having the power to make billions of dollars and yet doing nothing with it, you know, just have reverence for God.
Yeah. Yeah. God has to show you, he shows you the purpose of the thing. Because when I first entered into that, I didn't have a clue. What's this for? A massive merger's coming? I'm going like, you know, and what that massive merger had to do with was what's going on right now. But it also had to do with markets and money realms and, you know, yeah. And so it's kind of like with me, what happened was on January the 11th, 2005, that voice came into my room. And I never saw who it was, but they spoke to me like an innocent child and said, there's a massive merger coming. I'm going like, what the heck does that mean? You know, there's a what? I mean, I didn't even know what a merger was, brother. That's how ignorant I was. I didn't even know I had to go look up the word merger. What's a merger? What does that mean, merger? So I went and talked to my prophetic friends who were into all this stuff pretty much. And I said, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. They said, massive merger. And the first interpretation that I don't want to say their name, but they, you know, pretty well-known people, and they were in all this stuff. They said, merger, that's going to be the IMF. This is exactly what happened. God is my witness. They said the IMF is going to merge with, you know, and I can't remember what they said, but that's how they interpreted it. It was that big, like the IMF. You know what the IMF is, right?
Yes, definitely.
It's a huge, and that was their interpretation to that, because when I told them that, of course, they were into governmental stuff, they were into financials, they were into all kinds of things. They traveled around the world. I had never been anywhere. I never done anything. I didn't know nothing about anything. And all of a sudden, they realized that this person who came to, you know, help them and work in their house and do painting work and that kind of thing, they realized that whatever I was, they didn't know, but it was amazing. And, you know, and I was like going, I was amazed too, because they watched it happen. And yet at the same time, you know, all the information God was giving me that they saw happen over and over and over again in high levels of the market realm, high levels of the market realm, over and over and over and over again. They saw it happen over again. And so they knew this wasn't just a one-time thing, and they knew that I didn't know what I was doing, but yet God, because God, that's what I was trying to tell you tonight, is that when you realize you're called to something, it's not because you're super spiritual or you got it all together, or you know how to hear the voice of God better than anybody else. It's not really about that. It's about that God, when God chooses you to do something, he's going to train you to do it. You don't have to know anything about it. Hello, can you hear me out there?
I'm with you. I'm thinking.
I know you are. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're talking some heavy stuff tonight, so. Yeah, I
don't know if I can watch the Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I can picture it.
Yeah,
I'm still telling you, still to this day, that I can't believe you picked that movie for the example. I still can't get over that.
Well, me either. But I could have used a lot of scenarios.
I know some people, you know, Catholics, they say The Exorcist is the scariest movie they've ever seen, or. That, to me, is the scariest movie I've ever seen. I don't know why.
That is funny. Yeah, it was scary. Dude, if I hadn't been – I think I was saved when I saw that. I don't remember when that came out. But yeah, I just thought, man, the Lost Ark. I mean, I didn't know much about the Ark, but, yeah, and it was. And you talk about showing what it's like in their own way. Was amazing. I mean, I thought that was – they did a great job.
Oh, I remember they were tied up and they said, close your eyes, because all those spirits came out of the ark. And I said, don't look.
Yeah. It's starting to come back to you. Yeah. And whether those are angels or spirits, I mean, I don't know what they were trying to depict them as, but – in other words, it was spiritual. It was the spiritual dimension, and the ark, as always, even in the Bible. I mean, you know, of course, in the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant was when they carried the ark with them. You know, it did some major damage to the enemy.
Yeah, right. That could be representing angels.
Yeah, I think it could be representing angels, because they're angels. They're spirits from God. Yeah, so. It could represent different things. I really don't know that we could probably do it all justice necessarily in God's sight, but it was very overall the thing they were trying to show was like, don't mess with the Ark of the Covenant because it's powerful. Don't mess with God's stuff because the Ark of the Covenant represents, you know, the glory of God, and you don't just like in the days of Moses when the people fought against Moses. You know what happened? The earth opened up and they fell in. And they went straight to hell. You know, that's the depiction that they were putting together with all that is, don't mess with God's stuff, because when God's stuff is real, you don't want to mess with that. Careful what you do. So I was trying to connect that with the best I could. And why I use that one, I could have used a lot. I was going to use that example of Moses when they came against Moses and the earth opened up, and because they're all saying, who does Moses think he is, by the way, you know, who does he think he is? Well, we all can hear from God. We all can hear from, you know, like it was about hearing from God, you know, and that's one thing I can share tonight too, that people think that because we all hear from God, that makes us all equal in a sense. We do as sheep, we're all equal in that we all hear the voice, we all can hear the voice of God. But as prophets, prophets hear different from apostles. Apostles hear different than, you know, than the sheep do. Pastors hear different from the sheep. But they it's just a different kind of thing. It's not better than. It's just that, you know, when you have a God calling, that connects you to it in a powerful way. When as a sheep, we all can hear the voice of God, but it's not about what the governments are going to be doing. It's not about what's going to happen in the market. God didn't tell you when the economy is going to fall as a sheep necessarily, you know, so to speak. But so it, when you step into that place, it's, you know, even in worldly goods and being a person who's called to do business. I mean, when God calls you to do business and you obey him, man, it can be just like Solomon. You know what I'm saying? And when Solomon messed it up, man, it was messed up. Because we don't mess with God's stuff. You know, it's like a holy thing. It's like, but the beauty of it is, and the glory of it is that when God chooses to use us, the honor of it is amazing, but the reverential part of it is scary.
Yes. Yes, yeah. And when you're flowing in abundance, things are just easy. You could do anything, that thing, this thing. And if you're not really listening, you go down all kinds of trails that are not the right way. And you almost to get to that abundant level, you had to go through a lot of lessons, failures and mistakes to even know somewhat how to listen to God's voice, or it would just all go kapoof, you know, people that win the lottery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And before you know it,
that's
all
a really
gone.
Good example. Yeah. Really, really good example. That's one of the best examples I think that you can find is people winning the lottery and millions of dollars and they end up just losing it all. Because why? Because they weren't prepared and ready for that. And so, that's a really good example. Yeah. And I can say, you know, the thing that we have to realize that the difference here is if God chooses you to have wealth, it's for a reason. It's not just to hoard for yourself. The work that he does it in you in the wealth realm is, will you obey God with it? And if you'll obey God with this, I'll bless you so much that you won't even know what to do with all of it. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. But you learn from your mistakes. Right? That's the thing. So sometimes people become so arrogant when they start getting money and start moving in wealth, they get so arrogant that they just think they get by with anything, because that's what wealth does. It makes you think, it gets you drunk. And if you don't learn how to drink correctly, you know, drink of it correctly, it'll get you drunk and turn you into a whole different person, as we know. Everybody knows that one. We've all heard of all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I feel like I wish I could share with you some things one-on-one, but I think a long time ago you said a prayer, and even when we saw you in the studio, it was kind of like, you know, I was thinking, you know, oh, I'd love to be helping with Randy's show, and you said something, and then it was kind of like you said a word over us, and it changed the course of my thinking. It was kind of like we're supposed to have our own ministry, and I didn't know what that meant. And it said a few words like that, of kind of having your own ministry, or, you know, learning from you, but doing stuff here in Denver and things like that. And then it's just kind of coming full circle. All these years of prophecy, a lot of things are starting to make sense.
Yeah, it's like all the ministries that come, you know, like come out of PGN. I mean, we could talk about this a lot of different ways, but, you know, they you know, like when God uses me to prophesy and speak over somebody and they enter into the realm of wealth, and financial blessing and business, you know, then of course they, you know, I think that most of the time God's going to, you know, have them help us out, because that's because he built it. He helped build it. they don't have to do that. They you know, I think most people would want to do that, but you know what I'm saying? It's like it all connects. It's like when Paul the Apostle, when you see Paul the Apostle and he says, you know, he asks a church one time, he says, can you help this brother with a situation? And he says, don't forget, before God sent me to you, you were nothing and you had nothing. You know, that's what the apostle was saying to them. And he said, I could ask of you that I deserve things. But he said, I'm not going to do that. But he said, I could do that. And he said, just do what you do willingly. So you see where all the ministries that God has called together, everybody has freedom to do what God's telling them to do and not what some big leader's telling them to do. But our ministry to people brings them into the place where they have their own, in the sense that, you know, what God's telling them to do, to build their own, to do their own, and yet we're all connected. You know, so it's kind of like I can't go into business to fund the ministry because I'm not a businessman. But God uses me to speak and prophesy over businesses and business people because I have the mantle of the market realm. The market realm is not just a stock market. The market realm is to activate people into the money realm. You see what I'm saying? That's my – when I say I have a mantle for the market, when the voice came to me and spoke to me, there's a massive merger, and all of a sudden I entered into the financial arena, you know, I started making people money right away without even knowing what I was doing. Stock people, bankers were calling me, Jeff, saying, okay, I'm gonna name a company to you and see what God gives you about it. Now, they'd name a company, I'll go, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know what I was talking about. They said, oh, my God. You know, I mean, literally, time and time and time again. And so they made money, but you know what they did? This is what broke my heart, and this is what messed me up. Because until I went and reproved them, I said, you guys are making all this money. You know, how do you think that I'm doing my ministry over here and paying my bills? I don't get out and work. I don't have a job. I'm not called to have a job. God uses me to make you guys money, and you're sitting there not helping me out. I said, you don't have to help me out. Somebody's going to help me out. And so I found out real quick, dude, that even though you prophesied literally in the market to these people and they were making money off of it, they weren't, for some reason, they didn't connect that, oh, we can help Randy. They thought that I was investing in it. They thought that I was investing in the words that God gave me, and they thought I was making money. And so I went through all this learning. I said, you know what? God does not let me invest into it. He will not let me invest in this. Oh, we didn't know that. We thought you were investing in all this stuff. You should have been making, you know, like they'd send me 100 here, 100 there, maybe 1,000. We thought you were investing in this stuff that we were investing in, you were telling us about. I said, no, I can't. You know why I can't do it? Because God told me it's holy and I can't touch it. I can give it for you to touch, but I can't touch it. And if I touch it, it gets messed up. Or my eyes get burned out of my head, so to speak. I can't touch it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so I literally went through this, and dude, it was shocking. But I never thought about it. I just thought they're gonna know. I thought everybody's gonna know that I don't invest in this stuff. I tried it a couple times, and that's when the Lord told me. He said, "I don't want you to touch any of this stuff. This is not for you. You are a vessel to be used for, you know, for businesses and corporations and market people. You're gonna prophesy over them, and I'm gonna use you to build. But you're not gonna go into business. I'm not gonna invest in it. He's never let me invest in it." So when I started telling them that, they went, oh, Randy, we didn't know that. Sorry. You know, and it's kind of a long story, but I've learned a lot, dude. I mean, this stuff has been a shocker for me. And the greed round, how greedy somebody can get overnight from a word from the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing what money can do. And I started seeing it for the first time personally. I've read a lot of stories about it going on. If people get in business making money. I've heard about it. I've read about it. But I've never experienced it for myself personally. And it was, God used it to break my heart, to show me, you know, anyway, that's a real long story, real short, that I just gave. But
no,
I've never
well,
talked
I've
about
been
that
calling in.
Again, that's what I've never talked about.
I think I've been calling into your show since 2016, 15 maybe. And you kept giving me words about the little website I was starting back then and praying over it. And then March 19th, we merged with the company on the NASDAQ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, there's the market right there.
That, you know, me as an owner. And then I'll tell you, you know, maybe sure this is one-on-one, but I feel like I need to tell it as a testimony. And it's kind of a weird thing to say, but part of when I thought this transaction would close, I thought that part of it was I was going to write Randy Chandler a check and we were going to get this building. And I was thinking that was it. You know, I was talking about the building, and I didn't mention that. I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
We're getting this building. And then I had an audible word that this is not the building that I'm getting. There's a building in Denver, and there's a concert here, and it's my job to fund it here.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, has that just happened recently, or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's all recently, yeah. And I also was praying about your building, and I just want to share with you that I saw you getting a new building and a brand new one.
Oh. Wow, like building one or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I really don't have, you know, we talked about, and this is all private, done in the ministry, and, you know, with the people that I'm close to, that, you know, one of the things we thought about doing was buying property and building a building. And so,
I had no
so
idea.
We,
this is what I saw, fresh piece of land with a fresh building going up.
Yeah, we've talked about that. We've looked for property, you know, like in East Texas area and different places. And, you know, it's just, and I had some things I looked at that I liked. But, you know, nothing was done. Like that building we're talking about now, it's pretty new. It's hardly even really been used. I mean, it's like they went and used it and some things went wrong. And I don't know what all happened, the coronavirus. I don't know exactly what all went wrong with it, but it was built in 2016, I think, and hardly ever even used. I mean, it's like pretty brand new itself. And you can tell by looking at it when you go in and look at it. It's just like a, you know, and they said that they just kept having problems with it, you know. So it's not been able to make the money to, you know, pay it off. But it was like the building was like $1,350,000 building. And I don't know if their payments are too high. I don't know what the deal was. But the bank ends up owning it, and so you know, I went through all this stuff, and then I've looked at properties, and you know, doing a brand new thing, starting in a new place, you know, so I've gone back and forth with that, for sure.
I'll just keep praying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know God's going to do it. I know it's what he wants. The thing about building something, it just takes so much longer to build. You know, I mean, I think building can go quick, but when you're going to build something nice, you know, that's one of the things I struggled with was, you know, building takes, you know, longer to do, and we're kind of at a place right now where it's we're playing. When Biden became president, we entered into a whole other – it showed me how quick time has accelerated.
Yeah, time has accelerated exponentially.
Time, so.
Feeling the
awesome,
inflation clock ticking, too.
Do what now?
Oh, I was, you know, I think time accelerated and windows of time to move and forgot to move. I feel a sense of urgency, and I feel like inflation and these other factors, you know, 5, 7, 10 years, things will be wildly different.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely something happening. And so that's my whole process about when I was struggling. So my whole battle with the building, when I started doing the building the first time, it was before the election. And then as I shared on PGN many times, that the Lord had me, you know, stop pursuing it. Don't pursue it anymore. And I want you to get ready for the election. Like, I didn't, you know, I'm going like, okay. So I had to drop the whole thing for, you know, I think it would be a few weeks, right? The election will be over in a few weeks and blah, blah, blah. Well, it went on and on and on and on and on. It wasn't, you know, everything just kept going on. And even after Biden was inaugurated, it's like there was still this thing going on. And, you know, so finally that kind of ended. And even though I knew Trump wasn't going to do anything as far as in this session at this time, you know, the whole thing was that, you know, what was the development? What's happening now? And so... you know, so we started doing the building thing again after that, and you know, who knows, when we build a building that looks just like that. I love that look of that building. In fact, this, what's amazing about that building is that the structure of it and the rock and the brick and the whole thing is my favorite style of building. I mean, that's what I love, is that look, you know. And I couldn't believe when I found it. That's why I just said, oh, my gosh, you know, it's unbelievable. So maybe it's like I tell people, sometimes they'll meet a man. They'll see a man that they like. A lady will see a man that they like, that thinks really cool, is a great man of God, and they think they're going to marry the guy. I say, well, it's probably not, you're not going to marry the guy. You're probably going to get somebody like him, you know. So God will sometimes show you a building or a house that you really, really like, but it's not necessarily always that that's the building, but that it's going to get something just like it or something very similar to it. So I've dealt with that many, many times, seen that happen, you know, many times.
Oh, that's exactly how it works. And you go, for us, it's, we go on these trips to this place and that place, and we end up at these strange locations, and we're borrowing ideas from all these things to come together into one thing.
Wow. That is amazing. So you guys became part of the NASDAQ. When did that happen? Just in the last, that happened all in the last couple of months?
We, it was, you know, 286-page contract that I signed March 19th.
March the 19th. Wow.
Yeah, and then we just became the website for 52 retail stores, you know, publicly traded company. We became the platform for that, like the little thing I started in my apartment.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. What's amazing to me is that it's part of the NASDAQ, but that's, you know, like the market situation, like that's the whole thing. You know, God's given me a mantle for it. I've talked about it for years. You know, he gave that to me in January 11, 2005. That's when that happened, when the angel or the voice came to me and said, you know, there's a massive merger coming. He was talking about mergers like, you know, world companies, you know, financial. I didn't even know that at first. You know, I didn't know what it meant. I had no clue what that meant. And that's when I began to experience words about, I started prophesying over the church I was the head, the prophet of the house over. I would start prophesying, you know, that God's going to merge. He's going to marry the prophet to the market. And that's when those people, my first market people, they were in that meeting. And that's when they came to me and says, when are you going to put your money where your mouth is? I'm going, what are you talking about? They said, you know, we heard you prophesy that God's going to marry the market and the prophets. And I go, yeah, what about it? They said, well, that's what we do. I went, oh, wow. And I administered to them personally in the meeting. After that, ministered to a couple of them. And the Lord said, they said the Lord just read their mail. They said, who are you? I said, and what about this thing about the merging of the market and the prophet? I went, that's just what God said, man. I'm just telling you what God said. They said, what are you going to put your money in your mouth with? I went, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, what are you going to start prophesying over the market? So they got me in contact with this guy who just discovered pure water on his property, and, you know,
you know, it all had to do with the market and the stock market and them, you know, the whole thing. I can't go into all the details about it, but that's how all this thing got started, man. And then God just started one thing after the other, telling me, giving me information that went from, you know, 2007 to saying when the economy's going to crash, 2008. You know, I mean, giving me the very week that it was going to happen. And nobody believed me. These same people that said, what are you going to put your money in your mouth is, marrying the market, they were also big and bad and bold, like, you know, hey, you know, what are you going to put your money in your mouth is. So I started to tell them from the gift God gave me about that the market was going to crash. And, I mean, a major crash. And they go, no, that's not going to happen. You go, well, what are you going to put your money where your mouth is? They didn't believe it. And they lost millions. They gained it all back because the market went right back up. They didn't sell out their positions. But you see what I'm saying? So that's – and they had come back. They came back and apologized to me. They said, hey, we're sorry we didn't listen to you. I said, yeah, you put your money where your mouth is. You guys told me that. Now I'm telling you that. You didn't listen. Look what you lost. So that's what happens when God connects me with people that have callings to that. I'm not just called to minister to prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors or to the sheep. I'm called to I have the mantle of the market, you know, of markets and finances. And it's not that I know anything about it, because every time I try to dive into it myself, it goes away. I can't find it anymore. God says, what are you going to learn? You can give it out, but you can't touch it. You're going, okay, whatever. It was a hard lesson, man. I mean, I could tell the stories, but it would curl the hair on your toes if you have any hair on your toes. So it's been a long process, and now we're stepping into the place where we're going to see this thing cooking up and going and moving forward. So nobody's my source, and yet God uses me to become a source for them. In many, many ways, you know, I'm just directly. And so, and sometimes very directly, sometimes indirectly through prophetic information. but, you know, and yet at the same time, you know, if they don't turn around and take care of, you know, if God doesn't speak to them, they'll do something, which I never asked them to do, after I got corrected about, you know, so, hey, you guys, what's going on? You're making all this money, and I'm giving you this particular information. It's like you guys never help out my ministry. What's going on with that? I mean, I'm just trying to be real blunt with you. They said, oh, we thought you were investing in all of it. I said, no, God won't let me. They said, oh, we didn't know that, Randy. Sorry. And it was an amazing thing, man. I mean, I just thought, what is wrong with these people, you know? And I didn't want to say anything, because I didn't want to, you know, tell them I didn't go and do that. The Lord said, don't do that. Just talk to them and tell them what's going on, and then leave it into their hands. So that's what I did. And some of those people just recently tried to get me to come back to a place in their area and minister to all their market friends. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, you know how hard that was?
Wrong intention.
Huh?
Sounds like the wrong intentions. Hey, buddy, just while you're in town.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot more to it, but yeah. And so I'm going like, God, yeah, this was in November when the election was going on. Yeah, they called me up. I haven't talked to me in a long time. Hey, you know, can you come, you know, do a meeting with us? And I can't give too much information. Am I exposing? But you know, we were getting ready, you know, do the studio thing and all that. I'm working on all that. And that's before the Lord told me I had to drop it. He said, and I said, no, you know, I'm not coming. And it's like, you know, that's all they wanted me for. And, you know, it's like the Lord told me this time, he said, don't do it yet. We may still do it. But that was hard to tell them no, because I'm thinking we can connect with these people and God will use them to help supply, you know, for the studio. This is in November when the election was going on. I never talked about it publicly, but it was going on behind closed doors. But so, and there's other things too, but that's just one of some. And the Lord said, you know, don't put your trust in men and don't put your trust in market people. Trust me. And I'm going to show you, and when I have you bless people, they're going to be blessed. When I have you open up doors for the market in the specific, you know, wherever he does it, that's going to do it. So this is all gearing up again. And that was a big test for me, a big, big test. I never talked about it on the show because I couldn't, but it was a big test, you know. Yeah, I'll go back in there among those people. They got the money. They got the money. I said, they said, no. I'm not going to come. And I didn't go. And they weren't real happy about it. But anyway, I can't say too much, but I don't want to shame anybody or
no, I don't want to.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was like to me, it was a whole new test of who my source is. You know, you're going to use the prophet. You're going to use the prophet gift I've given you in the market realm to go and make and get some people to, you know, like what you're doing so they'll give to your ministry, you know. And it's like the Lord said, it's like Jesus being tempted to, you know, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down. It's like I go,
right.
I'm not saying these people are bad. They're not bad people, but the Lord just says,
no.
It was a test for me, man.
Yeah, well, it seems like I get those people all of a sudden, I haven't talked in 3 years. Hey, buddy, saw in the news. Hey, how you been?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing wrong with me going. It's just that the Lord said, you know, and I'm not saying these people are bad people at all. It was a test for me. It was a test for me. And, I mean, I just turned down a pretty good hunk of money just recently because the Lord said, I want you to do something else. Thousands and thousands and thousands. And the Lord said, I want you to do something else. And, you know, so I'm being really tested right now, and which tells me because here's the thing. I have this thing, like we have this big need, you know, like a building, this new studio, the thing that's going to be the centerpiece for, you know, the world events of the prophetic and that kind of thing. And so the devil starts going in and doing all this strategy thing, trying to get me to compromise and do it his way instead of doing it. God, that's why Jesus said, you know, I'm not going to turn this rock into bread. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to do something that I could do. Jesus could do that. I could do that. But if I do it, I'm going to disobey God. So therefore, I'm not going to do it. And I had people come to me all the time wanting me to come to their area. Come over here. Come do this. If you don't, we're going to cut you off. I'm going like, just go ahead and cut me off now. You know? Just go ahead and do it. Hasta la vista, baby. I understand you got to do, but I got to do what God tells me to do. And they try to tempt you with money. Satan tries to tempt you with money. And I've been tempted with money before. I had a multi-billionaire who loved me a lot. Multi-billionaire who gave me, when he gave me cash, he gave me handfuls of cash, rolled it up in rolls, and handed it to me when I would. And so, you know, so one time the Lord came to tell him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he has money hidden. He bought some property to hide his cash. Yeah, just to hide his cash. And I went down there and ministered to that place. And so after I ministered a few times, he started handing me all his money. I'm going like, man, this is awesome. Money, money everywhere. The Lord says, I want you to send him a text and tell him something that is very negative, that he needed to give some money back. He needed to get some things right with some people that he had done wrong. Dude, I didn't want to tell him that. You know why? Because he's going to get mad at me and not going to invite me over and hand me a handful of cash anymore. That was one of the hardest trials I've ever been through in my prophetic life, because I knew once I did that, and I sent him a very private email he gave me his private email that nobody could touch. And I sent it to him. I said, you know, God just showed me this and blah, blah, blah. He told all the friends that knew him, that turned me on to him, why did you tell him about all that stuff? They said, we don't even know about that stuff. What stuff are you talking about? They didn't even know what he was talking about. He thought they had exposed him. And the truth was, God did, and God was trying to bless him and get him blessed. He was already a multi-billionaire. And so I'll tell the rest of the story some other time, but it was not good for him because he didn't fix it. And what happened was the country that he lived in, the president of the country, and I got documentation on all this, the president of the country came after his companies and took his money away from him. Before he could do that, he got a lot of – that's when he brought property out of the country because he was financially – because he knew they were coming after him. So, dude, I can tell you stories. I mean, this is – this stuff gets crazy. And anyway, so I can't be tempted with, you know, if people aren't going to give to me if I don't do what they want me to do. I mean, I can be tempted with it, and they can try that, but it's not going to work.
Sorry. Yeah, they say that about New York City, that all these people in other countries, they need to get the money out, and people are after them, or it's not ethical money. And then they just buy these buildings in New York City, and they don't even want people to rent them. So that's why it's part of the rent is so expensive, is they say, oh, you want to open up a small little business here? You know, that'll be $30,000 a month, because it's just money that is sitting there that they don't want anybody to rent the building. It's just the whole city is filled with people like that just trying to get the money out of their country.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I've seen it happen. The guy that I'm talking about ended up migrating to, or what do we call it, going to, he actually ended up going to Germany. These guys are all over the place, man. The world is small to them. They can get a building, they can buy, like he bought, I don't know how many acres it was, I forget the acreage, although I went and had meetings on there several times here in the U.S. But that's why he brought the property, man. That was the whole thing. And he was a, like you say, he was a multi-billionaire. And it was, he was quite a character. He was quite, all these people have all this money. They get to where they think that they're God without realizing that they think they're God. You know, they don't even realize that they're there. And it's, and they start treating you like they're God and you're not, you know, we know we're not, but you know what I'm saying? That's what they, their attitude gets like that. And I could see where it could, I could see where that could happen, you know. But so that's what we're dealing with. I've dealt with this in many different ways and many different people. And so people get money, all of a sudden they get all this money, and God has used me to help them get it. I mean, I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. And, you know, they just act like they don't even know whatever happened. Oh, well, I forgot about that. You know, and the Lord says, just, I'm going to bless you, Randy. I'm going to take care of stuff. Just let it go and plant it as a seed. Let it become a seed. So that's why I'm expecting a great harvest right now. I'm expecting a great harvest. However it comes, however it does, I don't know. But I positioned myself when I left the other studio. You know, the Lord said, don't sign a contract, a new contract. And I thought they'll never rent this building out, you know. I'll be in here for a while and be looking for another building. But no, that's not what happened. It was amazing. And God's it put me in a position that's really interesting. Cool, man. We kind of went all over the place there.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, anything we can pray about? I know you guys got all kinds of things going on, but you can share things privately or publicly or whatever you want to do. But y'all let me know how you're doing. And
yeah, we just got connected with a Yuki specifically has been praying for a group of people that were Holy Spirit led Christians in the Thai community, which is really hard to find because of the Buddhist thing going on. And
right. She
just got connected with a group of ladies that are Holy Spirit, a small group of 5-6 people in Colorado that's a Holy Spirit tight community. So a real big
cool
answer to prayers.
Yeah. That's awesome. Really awesome. Cool. That is really cool. Really, really great. Amen. All right. So what do you want to, what do we want to pray about tonight before I move on here? What, anything particular?
I guess that wasn't a prayer request. I don't have anything else at the moment. I'll let you move on.
Okay. All right. As always, man, I love it. I enjoyed it. Congratulations on what God's doing with you. It's really, really powerful. We give him all the glory. He is, when he chooses you to do something, it's really an amazing trip. It's an amazing trip.
Yeah, well.
All right, we love you guys.
You know, yeah, we'll keep sharing testimonies when they come up, but I've really been blessed by this program and just encourage everyone else to keep calling in and believing in God.
You guys are blessed, and we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. All right. All right. We'll just be praying for that. Pray for Jeff and Yuke as you got connected with that group, Spirit-filled Taiwanians. How do you say it? So really, really great. I think God's just going to raise up a whole different group of people. I really think he's going to raise up a whole different group of people, for sure. And he's going to bless and raise up and show him his glory. They're going to show, God's going to show his glory. It's like on the day of Pentecost, when all of a sudden people from all these different nations were gathered around, and they heard, the people of God praying in the Spirit. And, and they heard them in their own languages. So I think that's the time that we're moving into, the languages. The language barrier, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to move, and it's going to be amazing. All right, let's go here to 803-991. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? All right, 803-991. All right, 803-991, are you there? I hear myself in the background, but I can't hear them. All right, let's go here to 808-879.
Aloha. It's Alana from Hawaii.
Hey, Alana, how are you doing?
Good. An hour ago when you said, does anybody have anything to share, I realized I have something to share. I have one sentence for you. It comes complete with dramatic pauses and sound effects, which is not my idea. I've sat here for the past hour and chewed off all my fingernails, wanting just to hang the phone up. But it's good, and it's a deep and weighty matter on the earth. So here it is, quote, you have to tell the world the truth about, dun-dun-dun, UFOs. End quote. People can't be getting their truth from William Shatner, Fox News, or even the U.S. government. If you don't know what the truth is, the Spirit of Truth will be happy to lead you and guide you in all the truth. I can add one bit of fact to this. There was a group of Antarctica research scientists who encountered non-human alien entities that told them to get out. They called for a transport plane, and they didn't even bother to put their bags onto the plane. They just got on the plane, shaking, trembling. The people on the plane had to go off and get their bags for them. And as I'm listening to this story, the Holy Spirit spoke up in a very rare, unique way and said, that absolutely happened to them. So there you go. From my plate to your plate.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. All right, let's reach you, and I pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and all this whole arena. There's so much manifesting. God, just exactly like Alana's saying, you're going to bring forth the truth about these things and what you say about them, what's really going on, and uncovering the uncoverable. Uncovering the uncoverable, whatever that is, uncovering the uncoverable. And thank you, Lord, for uncovering the uncoverable. So thank you to you. All things are open and light. Some things that happen are demonic. Some things that are happening are actually what people say they are, what they think they are. And there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of all kinds of things going on out there. So we thank you for the Spirit of Truth and for the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to your people, God, so we can know. And so open that up to your people. Open it up to the prophetic realm. And we're going to hear a lot more about all this stuff in the future. And so We thank you for the prophets and those who hear from God to be able to be a guide, you know, from the Word of God and the revelation from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of the end times. When the end of the end times opens up, all kinds of doors are open because God's going to manifest all kinds of things. And so I pray that we don't be short-sighted or narrow-minded in the wrong kind of way, but we be narrow in our knowing that God speaks to us. When you're narrow, when you walk in the narrow path, it's because God's speaking to you in a way that you don't fear from it in any fashion or form. So we thank you, Lord, that we don't have our minds made up beforehand. We thank you, Jesus, that you're going to show us and we're open to it in Jesus' name. And so reveal, start revealing, the revealing. There's a season coming where we're entering to the revealing. The Bible talks about the revealing of the Antichrist. That's going to be a very amazing time. I think we've, in some ways, God's already tapped me into some of that. Giving me the actual name of the Antichrist, that was a very revealing thing. And there's a lot of revealing going on. And so, so God, you're going to start revealing things. A lot of people think they know what's going on. And, you know, unless you show us, we don't know. So we're your sheep. We cry out to you, and we thank you, Lord, for opening us up to the dominion realm and to that realm of the revealing of the UFO situation, the revealing of, you know, this DNA transformation that they're working on. And so thank you for uncovering that, showing that, revealing that. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I agree. That's going to show it. All right. Okay. Let's go here to 864-439.
Hey, Randy. Hey, this is Walter.
Hey, Walter. Pray for you, Walter. I'm going to meet you there for a second. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter. Well, we thank you for the divine revelation, Father, for the speaking, not just the revealing of the truth, but the speaking of the truth, that God, we understand the speaking of the truth must be done by the Holy Spirit in the spirit of love, in a spirit of compassion. But like you gave me the word today, just today, that the word's going to start speaking not in parables so much or in language, mysterious language, going to start speaking very plainly because the time and the season has now opened up for that plain speaking to be done. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to speak very plainly. It's going to be very bold, very strong, and very deliberate. And by the Holy Spirit and all those traditional things, those things of tradition, are going to be burned up in the fire of reality, the reality of what's going on. A lot of things that are about to happen in the earth, a lot of false doctrines are going to be burned up. People are going to say, well, we knew that when, you know, we're going to be raptured out, when the temples were going to be built, you know, the Antichrist was going to be, and they're going to find it. All this stuff is going to be burned up right in front of their eyes. They're going to see, it will be known. All are going to see it. Everybody's going to know it. We're going to know exactly what's happening, what's being burned up in front of our eyes. And a lot of the things that we believed and thought were right and good and of God, we're going to find out that were nothing but false doctrines and lies. And Satan has used them to put fear on the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for using Walter to come out of tradition and come into the Holy Spirit and to transition of the new wineskins. God, in Jesus' name, for the new thing you're doing in the earth, in Jesus' name, amen. So what's going on, Walter? What's up?
Well, I like to cover what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I always know. Well, I think God's doing it with all of us. I think we're coming into a new place. Overall, I think that everybody, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the sheep, we're coming into a new place, and when the Lord told me today that he's going to start speaking to us without all the mysterious language, you know, like he spoke in parables, you know, I don't know if you heard the teaching earlier tonight, but about where it talks about where Jesus says, I'm no longer going to talk to you in mysteries or in parables, but I'm going to speak to you
because the disciples said, wow, now you're speaking plainly, you know, like they knew he hadn't been speaking plainly before because he spoke in riddles. He spoke in, you know, in a language that couldn't be, nobody really knew exactly what he was saying, though they knew it was God. And the Lord says, I'm going to start speaking very plainly. And that's what the disciples said. Now you speak plainly. So I think that, yeah, anyway, so go ahead.
Well, number one, definitely pre-trib. I don't believe the church is going to go by scripture. There's other people, you know, they'll debate that to no end. But church is not assigned to God. So I never did believe that. You know, if you listen to
the church,
America,
is not what?
The church does not go through tribulation. Doesn't go through the rapture. I mean, doesn't go through the book of Revelation. He said, I have not appointed his wife, the church, to his wrath. So you got...
Right,
we're
not appointed to wrath.
No, we're not. You know, you got people... I mean, Jim Baker, he's, you know, he wants to go through it. Well, you know, hats off to him if he wants to, but I think he'd get a lesson the way up, you know, when he realizes, oh,
right.
I'm going up. Anyway, yeah, I'm
not
there.
Right.
I never did do that. As a matter of fact, I'll give you something very interesting. When I was a child, I was, you know, pretty hurt about what's going on in the world as far as my family. So I tried to drown the stuff out. I was doing, you know, various things to get an altered state of mind. And I saw something. I was passed out. And I did not know what it was, but it came back to me every now and then. And since I became a Christian, the Lord showed me exactly what it was. I saw the rapture. I actually saw the rapture taking place while I was in an altered state of mind. And then once I've been saved, he showed me on various accounts the rapture. And we're so more closer now to it than we ever been. We definitely crossed the line even closer, because the vision he gave me in 85, thereabouts, he gave me, I had an angelic visitation about the rapture, where he showed me all the witchcraft's going to be taking place. I mean, it's going to be obvious who's working for God and who ain't. It'd be that obvious. And then when Obama came in office, he says, this is what I was telling you about back in 85. He says, now I'm showing you. You're going to see a progression. And boy, did we ever. So, yeah, anyway.
Right.
The way the Lord uses me,
you
don't second guess what he's saying. The Lord uses me to talk straight.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome. Anything we can pray with you about? Anything up? What's going on?
I want you to do me, why don't you just let me, what are you picking up? I don't want to say too much. What are you picking up?
Well, I think the pressure that's on you is God's trying to change the way you think about things and the way you think about God. I think that we're all coming to a new place where the Word of God, you know, you have 30, 60, and 100-fold. I mean, you know, if you're at 30, you want to be at 60. If you're at 60, you want to go to be at 100, you know. And I think that that what you're going through, I think God's trying to bring you up to a whole other level. And so that's a good thing.
Well, when people say double portion, I stop real quick. I said, I don't want double portion. I want unlimited portion. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I mean,
you know,
why ask for double when it don't have to be double? You can get more.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
right.
That's right there in the word.
Well,
if the Lord tells you,
I didn't say anything about double, but there are scriptures that talk about double, and God did double. I think if God decides to do double, I think that's up to God. But if he wants to do 36 and 100-fold, you know, that has nothing to do with double. But so I'm not sure what you're talking about that, except I think you're just sharing a general thought process. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Elijah received the double anointing of because that's what God did back at that time. So that's what he did, and I think we can argue with that, but... But, yeah, if God's speaking, you know, like I believe we can walk in 100-fold. I really believe that. We're not anywhere near it, but that's where I'm heading. That's where I'm believing God for, hundredfold. So that's what you're saying, yeah.
Well, right now I'm going through, my gut's telling me I got trouble on the way. I don't know what's coming. I don't know if you're picking up on that or not. But whenever my gut gets on a knot, I mean someone, demonically speaking.
Yeah, I feel a little sick to my stomach. I mean, not bad, but I wouldn't call it a knot, but like a, I'm not sick, but kind of nauseated, not nauseated. I don't know how to explain how I feel right now, but.
That's when you started talking to me.
I mean, pardon me? Yeah, in the last, just the last couple of minutes, but.
I've been thinking
about it. But, you know, I don't know that God's gonna, anytime we go through things, you know, even if the enemy does, I mean, look what happened to Joseph, look what happened to Job, look what happened to a lot of people. You know, they always came out with, like Job came out with double, Joseph came out with a lot more than that. I don't know what he came out with, but he came out with a lot. So no matter what trial, we don't fear any trial, any tribulation. Nobody wants to go through them. I'm not really asking for stuff to go through. The Bible says we enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. You know, that's what it says, through much trouble. So sometimes when trouble comes, you know, if we're dreading it, you know, I think that it can kind of open up the door for, you know, fear. And but I think God wants to show you that he can take you through anything, bro.
Right. But I've been picking up this all day today. When I woke up, I said, dear God, I got to walk through a battle. Let me ask you something. Do you know anything about plumbing?
Oh, very little. A little bit. I've done some plumbing, but I mean, I know anything about it.
Okay. Anyway, where I'm at, they want to check out, someone's got a sewer smell, and they're asking us. You know, I'm in an apartment complex. I said, there's no sewer smell in here, thank you. I said, if there was, I would have told you about it. Anyway, they wanted to come in, and they went to the sink. They ran some water, looked under the sink. They did the bathtub. I said, what are you doing? I said, checking for sewer smell. I said, you ain't going to find sewer smell coming to the water. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that's two separate systems. Water coming to the house.
I really don't know.
Say again?
I really don't know about that. Sewer smells can come, I don't know, they come from sewer stuff. I don't really know.
Yeah. Anyway, that was, I don't know if I'm, I got to connect the dots. Cause that took place, and I had this knot in my stomach all day. So I'm like, okay, cause that didn't make no sense. That was left field for me. And so I don't know where this knot's coming from. Yeah, it does feel like I'm a little sick in my stomach. It just feels.
It feels
uneasy.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray about that. And we'll just, I can't give you any counsel about plumbing. If I get any counsel about plumbing, I'll let you know. But good question, though. But thank you, Jesus. I'm going to mute you while I pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for my brother tonight, for that queasy thing he's been feeling in his stomach that I've been feeling the last little bit. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, he has nothing to fear. You are with him. And I thank you, Jesus, that, you know, sometimes when God's getting ready to do away with things, he's getting ready to add a bunch of things. So, you know, when we look at trials and tribulations the wrong way, some things can just, you know, open up the fear. That's what happens. So I thank you, Jesus, for closing that door on my brother, that Jesus, that your love is abounding on, in Jesus' name, that your love abounds on him, that your love manifests in him, in Jesus' name. I take authority over fear. In Jesus' name, I take dominion over that in the name of the Lord. I command everything that he's allergic to spiritually. If he's allergic to trouble, you're going to show him how to not be allergic to trouble, how to, when trouble comes, he's not allergic to it. He learns how to, God shows him how to go through it and how to be stronger, how to be more powerful, how to be more anointed, how to give more of his life to Jesus. Or do we not be afraid of trouble? We're taught, I think, the pre-tribulation rapture theory teaches people that we can't handle trouble.
when it comes to a certain amount of trouble, and that's why I don't like it at all. But so I think if whatever you're trying to teach him, God, I thank you, Lord, to teach him that he can take him through any trouble and make him more blessed, more glorious, more full of the Holy Spirit, and bless him with that in Jesus' name, and help him with this plumbing thing, whatever's going on with the sewer thing and all that. Jesus, we ask you to help fix that, and that they'll not make a bigger issue out of it than it is, and come to a completion and to an answer, and to consider, fixing things without going up on charging everybody a bunch of money. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to 803-991. This is my last caller tonight. See if they're still on there. Are you there yet? 803-991. Obviously, 803-991 is busy. All right, that's my last call with your hand up tonight. Anybody else want prayer tonight? Get your hand up real quick, and then we'll move on. It's after midnight, so after midnight. All right. Some people fall asleep. Sometimes it happens. It happens a lot, actually. So we just get used to it around here, and we thank God. Pray for Cheryl's brother. Cheryl has a brother who has had infection in his operation that he had. And so Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Cheryl's brother. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for touching him, for blessing him, for opening him up to your power, to your love. We speak the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus over his immune system. We command his immune system to rise up and shine and declare the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that death, where's your sting? A grave, where's your victory? We just speak victory over him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be done, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Victory, 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 in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all, nobody else put up their hands, so I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's been a great night with you guys. Appreciate it. Pray for Walter as he goes through his little thing, whatever's happening there with all the situation. Pray for him as a beloved brother, and believe in God for him to grow in new places he's never grown before. Just like me. I'm growing in places I've never grown before. It's awesome. Sometimes difficult, but glorious. So thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good night, everybody. We love you. Bye-bye.